Blog Talk Radio.
War Steel Records.
Come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue, you can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue.
Walk from reloaded, step into the palace. Better check your matters for fine divine savage. Not average, Dunny, I'm rich money. A king among men from sin that pure ugly. Hug me polite, Levine, I spit wine. And turn it back to water, your order, order mine. Reality, relationships, you better get a grip. KL and Tiffany, the magnificent. God omnipotent, Sunday spiritual. I'm so polite when I answer it, miserable. So visual, the mayor, the player. I put the rose from my garden to my heat there. New York Nixon, my queen is a vixen. 1257, now pure glisten. Love like loyal, my point is pure oil. My phone keeps ringing from dudes, I'm spoiled.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue, you can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue.
Love, entertainment, I name it and I claim it. Bring the guff on that turnstile, untain it. A messenger of light, I'm sitting to the night. My poetry is pain, Eric Ben Ross right. Step into Dallas, I educate Alice. Old school to new school, playing pure ballad. Divinely inspired, birth to approve. This is the Diva Squad on the move. Rachel and DC, gotta take it easy. Start to feel good, real good when you need me. Rich money, I rhyme, survive all your lines. Most high too good, so I keep saying I. Wild parable, GQ, not comparable. Out of line, disconnect, won't even air the fool. Street apostle, far from a fossil. Make a major move, GQ, with colossal.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue, you can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue, you can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue, you can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue.
All right, Dons and Divas, I am your host, Rich Money, and welcome back to another episode of Love and Entertainment here on GQ Palace Radio. Now, before we get started, I want to take this time out to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. Now, last weekend, what we did, we had a repeat show because we had so much going on, and we decided to give you our repeat show of, I believe it was Bold Bastard. We had Silver Fox on. We had Devil with the GQ General Question. You know, to check out those archives from last week, you can go to blogtalkradio.com and type in GQ Palace. That's GEEQUE Palace, and check out the archives. Tonight, we got something big going down for y'all tonight. We got the Titus, the up-and-coming artist. He's doing his thing. And we're going to have him coming on from 6 to 7 today. There'll be no GQ General Question today. We're going to do it like this just for this weekend. We're going to have the up-and-coming artist. We got an up-and-coming author. And we have an up-and-coming musical musician. So we're starting off, like I said, we got the up-and-coming artist, Titus. And we're going to talk to him about what's going on with him and what's his up-and-goings as an up-and-coming artist. And we're going to play his single that's hitting hard, Don't Threat On Me, which to me is something similar to this Trayvon Martin case that's going on. That's what I was told. So we're going to talk to him. We're going to hear that track that's banging and find out what's going on with him from 6 to 7. Then from 7 to 8, we got our special guest, author Al King. And we're going to talk to him about his book, that's hitting the globe, circulating real hard. Let it be known. He gonna let us know what's going on with his book and everything. And after him, we have our special guest appearance, Charles Wilson. And he gonna talk to us about what's been going on with him lately in the music industry. He's been doing so much. He's been with Epic. He's been with RCA. He's been with all these music, these record companies. And he got some singles out. And we're gonna play this smashing single, "What One Man Won't Do, Another Will." Tonight it's gonna be crazy. Also, shout out to my man Kenneth Whitmore. His birthday is today. It's going down at 2116 out of Clayton Power, All Right Affair. He's doing big things. Shout out to my man Kenneth Whitmore. Happy birthday, Kenneth. Once again, we're gonna get it started. When we come back, we got up and coming artist Titus. And we're gonna start with him. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Us.
I know you got a lot of things going on, you know, so I appreciate you taking out the time to join us, you know, this evening.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you for having me on.
No doubt, no doubt. Now, let's start off with your name, Titus. How did you come up with that?
Actually, the Titus 1, 1 through 4. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. My name is Titus.
I didn't get all that, but break all that down for me.
Actually, the scripture basically says that allow yourself to be used by God to be a minister. Well, that's basically what it's saying. I don't have the Bible handy with me to read it out just right now, but that's summing it up. Pretty much that's what I got from it. That's
okay,
pretty much
so,
what I try to do.
So you see yourself as a gospel artist then?
Yeah, you can say that. Because I am speaking truth. I speak truth. I consider myself, I call myself an MC, a minister of Christ.
So that's what MC stands for in your vocabulary, minister of Christ.
Yeah, my vocabulary. I call myself an MC, I'm a minister of Christ.
Okay, now, was you ever into, like, the gangster rap, the, you know, would you ever be
talking? Oh, yeah. Oh, I came up in the world.
Okay. So what actually made you change from gangster rap to gospel rap?
Well, what changed me, first, I had a change in my own life. And when I came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, he came into my life, and I had a chance to put all them old things away. I seen that I was on the wrong path. I was going down the wrong way, living that kind of lifestyle, the thugging and the gang banging and all that, drugging and playing women and all that. That was the wrong way to go. And so what happened was, I'm a married man now. I 7 years into my marriage. I started having problems in my marriage. And so, you know, I've been all my life, I've been doing things all on my own and what I want to do. I was trying to have control over it. But then the one thing that I felt that was dear to me, that was my family, my wife and my kids. I was on the verge of losing that.
Yeah.
And so at that moment, that's when I got to the hall pin of my life. I surrendered Christ and I gave it to him. Ever since then, It's been a complete turnaround. My life, it's been all up and up since then. Still, I'm at a peaceful place now. Stopped the drinking and the drugging, stopped the hanging out. So I wasn't living that life no more, and I'm against that life. I'm against it. It's bad for us as individuals, it's bad for us as a people. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, I definitely
tell
you
one
now.
So since I changed my lifestyle, I had to change my rap. And when I first changed my lifestyle, I didn't know how I thought I was going to stop rapping. For a while I did, I stopped rapping. I didn't know how I was going to put the gospel into a rap. After a little while, I guess he just opened my mind up and it just started coming out. I started writing back lyrics again with a positive message. You know, trying to reach them brothers that's still out there lost. Because, you know, the mainstream industry, they put all this out. They want to glorify that lifestyle. Like, this is it. This, the life ain't nothing but women and money. Party, party, party. But you see, I'm looking at it as we as a people. You look at the predicament, where we done came from to where we at. We about to party ourselves to death. You know what I'm saying? I think it's time to stop the party and start to get to the real thing by raising our kids and getting back to the family values and things like that. And the only way we're going to do that is through the power of Christ. You can do it on your own.
Okay, because I know one of your singles that we're going to get into later on is called I Am Hip Hop.
Yeah.
So, you know, hip hop, that's a slang for like the street slang of hip hop, like gangster rap and everything. So how do you format that with your gospel rap?
Check this out. I know you know Professor Griff, right?
Uh-huh.
I was checking out one of his documentaries. And he broke down the hip hop as an acronym. It was Higher Infinite Power Healing Our People. Hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. You know, that would start out to be with something that was positive. So that, when I heard him say that, Higher Infinite Power, that's God to me, Jesus Christ. Healing our people, words, the life and death is in the power of the words that we speak. You know what I'm saying? And right now, hip hop is corrupting the minds and destroying us. Because of what we're saying, the word. So I feel like I can get on the mic and speak something good, speak some life, and maybe can change somebody's life, change somebody's heart, make them do something different.
Yeah.
That ain't the way, because I got kids. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I definitely feel that, but you got to see hip-hop nowadays. That's why the pioneers is trying to do something different. Because back then, hip-hop, they were sending out messages.
Yeah, and the music got
now
a message
it's a
to
whole,
it.
Totally different concept to it.
Yeah, now it's just, let's get high, let's get drunk, you know what I'm saying, let's go party, let's go make it rain at the strip club, let's go, you know, you got the women being promiscuity is ramping out, like it's okay for the women to go out and all of themselves out there like that, and the men, you just out there doing anything and everything, and this bisexuality and any kind of sexuality is going on, and it's just gone. And they're using it in the mainstream, the people that run society, they're using that to destroy and corrupt us, man. It's killing us.
Okay, so my thing to you is, okay, see, so you know about hip-hop. You know the messages they were sending out back then.
Back in the day, yeah, it was more positive.
Exactly.
And if you remember, right before gangsta rap came in, we had, you know, there was the Black Power Fist going on. The red, black, and green was getting pushed to hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? Fight the power, T.E. Self-destruction, all that kind of stuff. But then they came and they started
acting. Public Enemy, Miss Melody.
Yeah, them kind of artists. They had a message about what was going on. And one of the songs was saying that, I forgot the name of the artist, but it was like, you know, crack was whack back then. Don't give me that. We don't want that. Don't give me that. We don't want no crack.
Yeah.
Crack, none of that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But now it's like, they promoting popping pills. Molly's a new thing now. Molly, I'm understanding this is like a mixture of several different drugs all in the one. They promoting that.
Yeah.
They promoting the sipping the soul. They promoting the getting high. They promoting the alcoholism. Everything that's killing us.
You
know what I'm saying?
Okay, now, my thing to you is, what's going to make your music different from any other artist, considering the hip-hop format of gospel? You know what I'm saying? What's going to make your music different, and what makes you different from everybody else? What message are you going to send to the audience or to your listeners that's going to make them say, okay, I like what he's saying, I like what he's doing? Because remember, one of your tracks is I Am Hip-Hop. It's not going to scare
you. All right, wait till you hear the lyrics. I'm coming from the higher infinite power. H-I-P, higher, I, infinite, P, power. H, healing. Our P, people. Higher, infinite power, healing our people. So my word is going to be speaking life. There'll be a message to it. My message is we got to change our ways. So we're going to look up. We're going to look up 200-300 years from now. We're going to be extinct. The whole time you're going to see us probably going to be on TV somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
I understand. Okay, I understand exactly what you're saying. I understand what you're saying the whole night. See, but my thing is, okay, because you got I Am Hip-Hop. So a gospel person is not going to take that as a gospel statement. They're going to take that as a regular hip-hop statement. How would you break that down to somebody? If they see the title that says I Am Hip-Hop and you a gospel rapper, how would you actually break that down to somebody? If they wanted to break it down to me, I want to know, how would you break it down to me? If I came to you and I said, well, listen.
I thought I was doing that with the higher infinite power. That's God. Healing our people. Use the music to heal instead of destroy. Use the music to build up instead of tear down.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
What I
life and death is in the power of the tongue. That's scripture.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that's what you would tell somebody. That's what
that
means.
That's
how you break it down. Okay, that's what I'm making sure. I'm just making sure, man. That's all.
Okay.
That's all. Now, how long have you actually been MC?
Doing the Christian rap thing.
Let's see. That's what I want to break down to you. How long have you actually been emceeing, and then how long have you changed over from gangsta rap to Christian rap?
I fell in love with rap back in like, I was like 13, 14 years old. Started trying to write. You know how it is in the hood. Everybody shoot ball, everybody rap, everybody sold drugs. You know what I'm saying? So that was just part of the culture. Everybody say, you know, hip hop is a culture, like you were saying. No, hip hop is a culture, it's a way of life, how we live.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in all that, and you know, just went on with it. Wasn't really too. Well, I was kind of serious about it because I had a couple of homies that had little studios and everything back then, but nothing ever really came out of it. A lot more into doing something else than I was about the music. I was in the streets and in the hood. You know what I'm saying? More than I was in the studio. So nothing come of it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Go ahead.
So now I'm settled down. I'm humbled now. I don't change my life. I don't give my life to Christ. I'm trusting Him. I trust that He's in total control. So now I got time to sit down and write songs and make songs now. I've been doing the Christian rap thing for like I say about 2 years now.
Mm-hmm. Now, was it kind of hard?
I had to change the message, man. I got kids now, and I can see how the music is influenced. It's a big influence on our youth, man. It's a big influence. And what's sad to me is when you get cats 25, I mean, I ain't gonna say 25, when they start getting that 27, 28, 30 years old and still gone and out there. About then, you started beginning to play with the kids that was babies when you was 15 and 16, you know what I'm saying? When you were 17, 18, they was babies. Now y'all out in the same place partying and corrupting each other. You know what I'm saying? I think we got to be better influences and better examples for the people that's coming up under us. Because you don't know, somebody's watching you. You might think you're just nobody that, you know what I'm saying, you ain't got no influence and no... You ain't got no pull on nothing, but there's somebody that's watching you that looks up to you. And they gonna do what you do more than what you say.
I definitely feel you on that. Now,
so with the music being one thing, they hearing that. But then they see mama and daddy doing it, but the music saying, they think that's what life is. That's what it's supposed to be. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So how are we gonna expect them to do something different?
I definitely agree with you on that.
That's nothing that got me, my kids. I had to change. I didn't want my kids to come up and, you know, this is a wicked place we're living in. We're in a perilous place. You know, we call it Babylon. You know what I'm saying? We're in a wicked place. Nothing but wickedness going on. And it's real sad. I mean, from top to bottom. We talking about people that run the world on down to the bottom, to the slave.
Mm.
I mean, it's corrupt. They put their poison in our food, our water. You know what I'm saying? With the thing they're going on with the GMOs now. They doing studies on that where they basically poisoning us, man. They try to kill us. So when you put all that food, you're playing for real now. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't know what you're taking. And then I know you heard about the what they doing with the planes, what they spraying the stuff in the sky, the chemtrails. Spraying chemicals coming down on poisonous like that, and we wonder why we crazy. You know what I'm saying? It's all by design. It ain't no mistake. We got an enemy that's up in a high place called Satan. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And he don't stop. He stay busy. He don't take a minute off. So we up against a whole lot. So I think the last thing we need to do is doing things that gonna bring each other down. That's the last thing we need to do. We need to be making news that's positive, uplifting. We need to boycott. We need to boycott starting with the liquor stores. Starting with the weed man. You know what I'm saying? We need to start boycotting them first. We got to get our minds back. Get our mind right.
We lost our minds, man. We're going to find nobody to boycott the liquor stores in a minute.
Hey, that's where we need to start at, though. Brother. We need to put that liquor bottle down first. Put that marijuana down. But America done became a nation that of pill poppers. I bet they said 70% of the population is on some kind of drug.
Uh-huh.
Know what I'm saying? I mean, we gone, dog. And that's not even talking about our people. That's talking about nationwide, all races. Oh.
Let me ask you, was it hard for you to change from doing gangster rap to gospel rap? Was it hard for you to change that format,
that
whole
persona
of it? How did you actually
get
to that point where, okay, you know, how,
break
that down to
us. Yeah, it was hard. When I first converted, I had stopped rapping. It was about maybe a year and a half where I didn't write nothing, I just stopped listening to hip-hop. Everything got rapping was whack.
It was like writer's block.
It was speaking death. I tell you what, it was a brother that I heard. His name, he was a popular artist now. That made me say, yeah, I can do this. With the Christian gospel rap. And dude Lecrae, you know, he was popular. I heard one of his tracks. You know what I'm saying? What he did, it was like it was still weird. He was still gangster. Had that edge on his still, but then he was speaking some truth and some positivity at the same time. You know what I'm saying? He brought it together. And when I saw that, made me say, yeah, I can do it. I just got to just keep it real. Just tell the truth. You know what I'm saying? Back then, that used to be a saying, keep it real.
Uh-huh.
But it's real now. You know what I'm saying? What's real now? Y'all are high and on something. Y'all living in illusion, the fantasy life, the daydreams. What's real to me is my brothers and sisters out here dying every day. And we're not loving ourselves. That was real to me. That said, we killing each other at an alarming rate. And you know, it's the highest cause of death in the black community, I found not too long ago, was abortion.
Uh-huh.
That's the highest cause of death in our community, man. We killing our babies before they even get a chance to breathe.
Now,
and we wonder why the essays don't came in and took over the population. No, now more essays than it is black folks now in America. We killing our babies. And we killing each other.
Yeah, I was just reading the other day. They doing it mentally and physically. They just, you know, maybe slice her baby up 90 times because he bit her while she was breastfeeding. You know, it's crazy out here. But what I want to get into, I want to get into your single, I Am Hip Hop. Tell us about
already,
I Am Hip Hop.
Already. Check that out. It's a
tell
message.
Us a little bit about it.
It's a message to the music. It comes, you know, I'm just talking about, I come in, talking about how life and death is in the power of the tongue, you know. I get out the acronym, High Infinite Power, healing our people. You know what I'm saying? How the rappers, how we glorify everything that's killing us. How we glorify like the bling, the diamonds and everything. How we over here in this European, American culture, how we put the diamond up as this most expensive rock. But, you know, Africa, where most of these diamonds come from, you know, Africa is rich with diamonds. But, you know, our people over there working in these diamond mines and in these gold mines and these platinum mines, basically at slave wages. They're basically slaves over there in Africa working for these diamonds that we over here spending house money on and college tuition money on and killing each other over these things that our people over here, so we're dying for it over here. Because we're glorifying it and we're making it like it's something that we got to have. At the same time, our people are dying for it over there, mine it for the people that run the world. You know what I'm saying? I speak on the being the voice of the voiceless. Ain't nobody speaking for the downtrodden. Ain't nobody speaking for that homeboy on the corner that's stretched out looking for a way out. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody speaking for him that don't, because I know when I was in that lifestyle, I didn't love living it. I didn't love it. Now, I don't know, some brothers, the brothers that I was with, but I knew we had good times and everything. We basically were doing what we had to do. But we didn't love that lifestyle. Like, they glamorize it now. Make it like it's a thing to do. You know what I'm saying? At the time, I didn't know it, but living that lifestyle, I didn't love myself out there living the way I live. Because at any moment, I could have been dead, shot down, killed. I've been in jail for the rest of my life. I got too many homies dead in jail right now. And it easily could have been me, but I'm looking back on it now. I know it wasn't but the hand of God on me that kept me from that and got me to this point where I'm at right now on this radio station with you talking about it. You know what I'm saying? Ain't God good?
Yeah, yes, he is.
Yeah, I speak on that, and I speak on that, having that voice. Because now we know that 99% of us ain't doing so well. You know what I'm saying? We know that it's a small, very few of y'all that's out there really that's balling out of control and can afford to. You know what I'm saying? That's the truth. The truth is we is doing bad. You know what I'm saying? It ain't all good.
Yeah.
Like these rappers and entertainers make it out to be. Small few, so I gotta tell the truth, man. I got like I'm the voice of the 99. I wanna occupy hip hop. I say they occupy Wall Street, let's occupy hip hop. You know what I'm saying? We can make a change. It's revolutionary.
All right, so you know what? I want you to introduce that next thing. Your next track, I Am Hip Hop.
You listening to the GQ Palace Blog Talk Radio with Rich Dollars, that Rich Money, and the Titus 1-1-4. We finna get into I Am Hip Hop, Higher Infinite Power, healing our people. Let's change the game. Occupy Hip Hop.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Production. I am the tightest one, 1-4. So check it. Catastrophic on the beat. I am hip hop. Higher infinite power. Healing our people. So what you saying?
Can you hear me? I'm coming through your speakers clearly. I speak the truth from all you fake duck suckers feel me. Y'all can't get near me. Y'all messing up this game severely. Hip hop ain't dead, it's in my head, and I love it dearly. You brothers lame, all you suckers look the same. Society got them chains on your brain. No variety, keep it simple, keep it plain. Yo, inquiry, we go insane and it's a shame. You sold out, but you can go and get you something shiny. Then go out and mislead the masses blindly. Don't you know my people slave in them diamond mines? They die and go without a grain. Shine, trying to shine. Sounding blood and fall in love with the root of evil. Like a cancer, destroy the voice of our people. If hip hop ain't rest in peace, the industry done killed it. It's mainstream buffoonery, man, I can't feel it. I'm calling for a boycott, I'm waking up the whole block. They occupy Wall Street, let's occupy hip hop. Missing clothes, you hear the voice of the 99. Choo-choo the game, never sell my soul for fame or a dollar. If you hit me, people holler. Our children dying in these streets, these suckers popping bottles like it's a celebration. I'm talking about some liberation. Get your mind right and we can free the whole nation. I am hip hop. Higher infinite power. Healing our people. What you saying? I just can't stand by and say it's alright while our children getting high. And don't care if they die while they lost in their sins. You can say you all sin while you suckers flossing. Look at what it's costing. Communities under siege, hit with plagues and disease. It's the high murder rate, childhood pregnancy. Did I mention drug addiction with all the fathers missing? No time to go to school, we in the grazing in the prisons. It's a disaster, no love for us ghetto bastards. I try to run and get away, but like a slave I'm captured. The only way to find peace in the life after. So I pray that on that day I'm caught up in the rapture. I am hip hop. Higher infinite power. Healing our people. So what you saying? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So watch your mouth. My kids listen. I am hip hop. Catastrophic on the beat. This is a Tajara production. Yo, I'm the tightest one, 1, 2, 4. Check it.
Hello, Titus, you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, my fault. I was on mute. I didn't even know. I guess I was still jamming to the tune. Yeah.
That's all right. You hear the message in it, though. You hear the message.
Yes. Now, what made you decide to send that specific message? I mean, because you got some kids that's going to listen, but how are you going to make them comprehend when they come to you and be like, express your message to me, the aspect of you delivering this message to me?
My message is, I would tell a young brother, if they listen to that song, what it's saying to them, it's saying that what the mainstream society is showing you and telling you is all a lie. It's all an illusion. It's all a distraction to keep you from the truth and what's really going on. And what's truth is the our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what the mainstream society and the media, our enemy, the Lucifer Satan the devil, he uses those tools to carry out his agenda. That is to keep us as far away from God as he possibly can, to keep us from coming to the knowledge of God.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you caught up in what's going on with the what the latest mainstream hip hop artists are doing, or what the latest athlete, I mean, you can look at hip hop, like you say, it's a culture, it's a way of life. It crosses over from just the music to the actresses, and you know, it's a whole big industry now. Athletes and all of them, is basically all of them are hip hop. So if you're gonna follow them, you're gonna fall down the path of destruction. They all sold on the thing that it's all about money. It's all about getting a dollar. That's what life is all about. But what I'm saying with my music, it's only a 1% of people that's gonna make it. Just like we can take it from the hood level. You got millions of drug dealers out there, but it's only a couple of hundred thousand ballers that they can consider themselves, you know what I'm saying, big time drug dealers. You know what I'm saying? You made the comparison of how many that's really living comfortable, living that life compared to the people that's out there struggling and that's at the bottom rung. You know, it's lopsided. Just like the same thing with basketball. It's only what? Maybe 15,000 NBA players that make it to the NBA in the whole league. But how many ballers in America, in the world for that fact? You know what I'm saying? How many good ballers that can ball good? Out of this world ballers on the football, any level. Doctors. I mean, you think any field out there look like you with the radio hosting. You got many people that's out there that's doing their own little thing. The only few gonna make it to that big stage where they on top of that game. So that's right there. That's all, it's good to shoot for that, but it's something that's not really real. You know what I'm saying? That's why a lot of people come up. You think about it. The average hip hop artist that's done made it big now. I mean, got millions of dollars. They start out at the bottom. They start out on that block. We saw what they say now. You know, it's a lot of them be lying, but they say they start out on the bottom. They come from the hood. And anybody that comes from the hood, that comes from the bottom, you know, you got a little militant in you. You against this society, and you against, you know what I'm saying, laws and regulations. You against all that if you at the bottom and you in the hood. Because you've been in the bottom and you in the hood. That's why you against all of it, because you've been knocked down. You've been oppressed, whether you know it or not. You know what I'm saying? So for them to get their money, okay, I can see you a young hungry rapper coming up. They offer you a couple of hundred thousand to go out there and defame yourself and call out your brothers and sisters out their name and grade, you know what I'm saying? I can understand you taking that money. Are you hungry? Okay, but it come a point where you done made a few million dollars. When comes the point that you say, when do your conscience wake up and be like, what I'm doing is wrong, I'm killing my people with this? When do you wake up and say, I got to do something different? I mean, how much money is enough? I'm about to say selling out is the new keeping it real. You know what I'm saying? Like, they get their money, they get it. It kills me to hear rappers that's the multi-million dollar rappers now. They got multi-millions, but they still rapping and talking about hood stuff that they ain't living. And they glorifying and making it seem like it's something that's good. That kills me.
They do that because they want more money. They're going to do what they got to
do. Exactly. They sell
their
stuff.
They're
modern-day Sambos.
Okay,
check
okay,
out
let me ask you something. What if you could perform with anybody that's in the music industry, who would it be and why?
Well, right now, I guess I have to say Lecrae. You know, he's a popular Christian rap artist. He keeps it real. He gangster with it. You know what I'm saying? He got that
okay,
edge
so,
on it.
Okay, so my thing to you, my next question is to you, why would you want to rap with a gangster rapper if you're doing gospel?
Because that's the journey. That's the people that we try to reach. Myself and Lecrae, you into the music. We try to reach that brother that's on the corner, in the hood, with a message that's different, but still where they can understand it. Know what I'm saying?
No, but yeah, I know.
Because we gotta get their attention first. We gotta get their attention. We just come right out of them hollering Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. They don't want to hear that. Brother on the hood, on the corner, don't want to hear Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. They don't want to hear that. They want to hear something about their struggle.
And then they hear that you can relate to their struggle, then they start listening to you. Oh, this brother, I can feel this brother. This brother really right here. Okay, but if you got...
If I'm out
with him
gospel, I can feel him.
Okay, let me ask you something. If you're doing gospel, you're trying to reach that gospel audience. So
no, I'm not trying to reach the gospel audience. Wait a minute, brother. I'm not trying to reach the gospel audience. I'm trying to reach that brother that's out there in that corner that's lost. That's who I'm trying to reach.
Okay.
I'm trying to seek and find the sick and the lost, the dying. That's who I'm trying to find. That person that's already into the gospel, that's already into the truth. They might not need to hear me. You know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to reach them because they already saved. I'm trying to reach that brother that's lost.
So you doing gospel, not some talk. If you want to, if you have any questions for Titus 124, and you already on the line, press 1 to go on the air. If you're on your PC, the number to call, 646-200-3838, and press 1 to go on the air. So, mainly, okay, because you lost me. All right. Now I need you to make me understand. Because,
okay,
all right, you're doing gospel rap. Wait, I'm
okay, check it out. Just check this last song that we just played. I Am Hip Hop. I didn't mention Jesus' name now time. You know what I'm saying? But did you hear what I was saying, though?
Hello? Hello, Titus, you there?
Yeah.
Okay. I lost some type of connection on that one, but I apologize. Go ahead,
Y'all saying like the last song we just played, I Am Hip Hop. I didn't mention Jesus' name nine times throughout the whole song. You know what I'm saying? But I spoke some truth, and I spoke the truth. And something that was positive, had a positive message to it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And that right there, that song wouldn't even fall in the gospel category. If you were to categorize it, you wouldn't put that on the gospel shelf. Because it don't mention nothing about Jesus dying for your sin. That's what the gospel is. Jesus Christ coming down in the human flesh, dying for our sins, so that all our sins could be forgiven, and being raised again from the dead, going back to life, and now having all power in his hand. That's what the gospel is. It's the good news. That's the good news, that Jesus died for us. That's what the gospel is. So that song right there, and the next song we're going to play, Don't Tread on Me, really, they're not gospel songs, but they're speaking truth, and they're speaking life.
Okay, so my thing to you is, like I was explaining before, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay, my thing is, you're talking about gospel. You're going to be talking about gospel. You said you were a gospel rapper. You're not trying to attract a gospel audience. How could you attract a gangster crowd if you're a gospel artist?
With the music, with the words.
But that don't mean
gangsta
crowd is not going to go with a gospel artist if you try to bring them. Because you got to realize gangsta rap is one part and gospel is another. You understand what I mean?
Let's just put it like this. I'm a Christian first. Like so you say what kind of rap, what category I'm going to put myself in, I'm going to say Christian.
Okay.
My message, it got to be something that's positive. I can't come out here talking something that I don't live and something
right.
that I'm totally
okay.
against. You know what I'm saying? I got to speak
okay.
something that's truthful. So maybe you won't put me, I see why a lot of artists say they don't like to be put into a box, into a category. And then you try to single out. You see, you can't do that with art, with music. You got to let music be what it do and do what it do when you put it out there. If you listen to my music, it's really not gospel. If you listen to it, I didn't mention Jesus Christ. I didn't mention Jesus Christ about one time. And that's how I'm going to reach that brother on the corner. But like I said, if you come out to him hollering Jesus, you're going to miss him. You don't think LeClay reaching them brothers on the street?
No,
with his music?
I mean, it depends on what I mean.
I think I'm the only one that's not feeling the block.
Some people reach certain crowds, like you got the pop music, they reach the pop crowd. You got the jazz, they reach the jazz crowd. But I want you to hold on, we have a caller for you, and I want to put them on the air. Then I want to, we want to play Don't Tread on Me.
Don't Tread on Me.
But hold on, we have
a caller. You know that little group that was, the Tea Partiers? They used to fire that flag, Don't Tread on Me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was not about don't tread on me. That's being tread on. If you look it up in the dictionary, the word tread means to be treated with disdain, harshness, to be oppressed, to be stepped on. That's what they've been doing to us since I don't know how long. We've been treading on. That was that song about don't tread on me. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm ready. We're going to bring them on. Hello, caller, are you there? Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry.
All right, you have Titus on the line. You have something you want to say there? Titus, excuse me.
Hi, Titus.
How you doing?
All right. I was trying to figure out what category of music that you're in, but I think you just answered it when you said that the music, like the song that was just played, isn't gospel music.
Right, it's not gospel.
So technically, what type of music would you put it in? Hip hop, rap.
Underground.
What underground? And the main focus for like your type of music is to reach the person that's standing on the corner, the drug dealer, the gangster. Your music is trying to win the
world. I want to reach him, and I want to reach that hip hop head that just love hip hop.
Right, but in the music that's played for like gospel music, you're kind of like leaving the gospel music to Kirk Franklin, and you're leaving all of that for them. You want to
reach
the people that didn't reach over, didn't cross over yet.
Right? Yeah, because you know the average person on the block, they ain't trying to hear it once they know it got Jesus on it. Something about God, they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear from the Lord until they down and out and need a prayer. Then they want to get down on knees and pray, God, help me do this, God, help me do that. But the rest of their lives, they living for the, because I'm talking, but the Bible teaches me that you either living for Satan or you living for God. Ain't no in between. Can't be lukewarm. You either cold or you hot.
But that's why you chose to make the rap, hip hop, but just don't mention Jesus in it at all. So this way, as soon as the gangsters hear Jesus, they're not even gonna listen to it.
Yeah, they're gonna get turned off. They're gonna get turned off.
I understand what you're going with that. I just wanted to know, would you consider yourself? So then you're not considering yourself a gospel hip hop artist. You're considering yourself a rap and hip hop artist, correct?
Hip hop. Yeah.
Just hip hop.
But I know I'm a Christian first, so.
Right. But you know you're a Christian first, but what you're doing is you're not exactly labeling it gospel music. And like the song I just heard,
I couldn't label it that because you know what the gospel is, that the good news of Jesus Christ come and die for our sins. So if I don't mention that, it can't be really considered gospel to me.
Exactly. Okay. All right. So I understand. And are you on YouTube at all?
Yes, ma'am. I'm on YouTube under the name Titus Brawley, T-I-T-U-S. Brawley.
Okay, I'm sorry.
T-I-T-U-S. Brawley. Brawley.
Okay.
Okay,
and where's your music available?
On SoundCloud.
All right.
It's on YouTube, it's on SoundCloud, and Facebook. You can look me under the Titus 1-4. That's T-H-E-T-I-T-U-S 1-4. You can find me on SoundCloud and on Facebook under that name, the Titus 1-4.
Okay, gotcha. All right, thank you.
Yep,
all right,
and there's free downloads available on SoundCloud.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Titus, I have some more callers, but I want to get into your single real fast.
Don't tread on me.
Yes.
Already. Hey, listen to the words, man. You got to go on YouTube, check out that video. Don't tread on me.
Okay.
Got to go on there and check that out.
Okay, now tell us a little bit about that single real fast.
Well, that song came about, like I said, the Tea Party was talking about don't tread on them. Because now a lot of the middle class don't became poor. You know, a lot of them lost their jobs. They lost their houses and everything. They all up in arms up against the government now. You know what I'm saying? Now they feeling like us. You know what I'm saying? They feel like they're being oppressed. So I was tripping off that. I was like, we've been oppressed all our lives. Now they're tripping about the government because, you know, they don't lost their job. They don't lost their money. They lost their God. That's their God, money. You know what I'm saying? So I was looking at that tread. Don't tread on me. So I went and looked up the word tread, and I came up with that definition: to be treated with disdain, harshness, and cruelty, to be oppressed, stepped on. I was like, that's us. We've been treaded on all our history in America. We've been treaded on. You know what I'm saying? So I had to come out with the song, Don't Tread on Me. But I'm talking about, you listen to the lyrics, I ain't really on the government. I'm talking about who our enemy is, how we basically hate ourselves. And that's my main objective. I'm gonna try to bring that red, black, and green back. You know what I'm saying? We Africans first, or we Americans. So I'm talking about how we basically killing ourselves through the music and through our lifestyles, and how, you know, things happen in our community. Like, for instance, the thing with the Trayvon Martin. How his brother got killed. But then we can look through these last recent few years. How many brothers got killed innocently? Shot down. How many? You know what I'm saying? Okay. Nothing done about it. How many?
All right. Well, what I want to do right now, it's been in mind, but what I want to do right now, because we run out of time, I want to get your single in, and then I have callers that want to talk to you. So I want to get your single in real fast.
Alright.
Take some calls. Alright?
Alright, play that.
Alright, Dons and Divas. Here's another hit by Titus 124 here on GQ Palace. Remember where you heard it. Love and entertainment.
It's butter, baby!
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Don't tread on me. Dear brother, I'm tired of seeing scavenging in the gutter. Tell me where's the love of one another. All the strain that rained on our family. I pay the price to live this life as a G. A unity in our community. The enemy got a war on you and me. I love just like you, but you hate me. You enslaved in your mind, you ain't free. You got you caged up in penitentiary. You was raised up with this mentality. Raised up.
tread on me. Don't tread on me. They do their best to oppress you and me. Treating with disdain, harshness, and cruelty. I hear my ancestors calling on me. Society, don't tread on me. Till my brother's in the penitentiary. Called up now enough to catch a teeth. I hear my rest in peace, homies calling me. Society, don't tread on me.
Titus 124.
Hi, Uncle Al. I wanted to tell you that I love you so much, and you inspired me, and I want you to keep on writing your books, let it be known, because I have a lot of people that will support you. Because you did it for me, I would definitely have everyone behind you. I love you so much.
I think she blew your spot up. Titus. Wait a minute. I heard her say book. I heard her say book, Titus. What's going on?
I know. I wrote no book. Unless you want to consider my raps a book, I can turn them into a book.
Oh, you know what, Karen? I think you're talking about the author that's coming on next, Al King.
Oh, yes, Al King.
Okay, that's who you're talking about.
But I would love for you to be my uncle. I'll adopt you.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, you're talking about Al King, Karen. That's who you're talking about. He'll be on at 7. Matter of fact, he's coming up next. This segment is coming up next. So you can stay on the line and listen in. If you got any questions that you want to ask Titus 124, you can ask him.
1-3-4.
1-3-4.
Well, Titus, can you let me
know what it is? 1-3-4.
Yes, ma'am. I wanted to know what is, are you writing a book or what do you have to offer to the world?
Hip hop artist. I write lyrics, positive lyrics, uplifting, upbuilding, empowering.
And where can we find you at?
You can find me on SoundCloud, you can find me on Facebook, you can find me on YouTube. You can find me on Facebook and on SoundCloud under the name The Titus One, 1-3-4. That's THETITUS 1-1-4. Find me under that name on SoundCloud and on Facebook. And on YouTube, you can find me under my government name, Titus Brawley, TITUSBRAWLEY.
So when are you coming to the city? Are you from New York or where you're from?
I'm in Arkansas.
Oh, so when are you taking a visit? Because you might have a lot of fans out here also.
I ain't planned on nothing, but who knows what may happen. I didn't plan on being on this interview on the radio at this time either. So my door is open. Whatever God is going to open up for me to walk through, I'm trusting in him. If that's where he leads me, that's where I'm going to go. I don't know right now. I really can't say. It ain't in my plan, but I don't know what he's planning, though.
He says, I know it gives you nothing that you can't bear, so just pray on it.
Will do. Thank you.
Karen, you can wait on the line, Al King is coming up next, okay?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
We have another caller for you. Hello, caller, are you there?
What's going on this street, Walker, man? What's going on, man? How you doing, brother?
I'm good, brother. How about yourself?
Man, wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, I just want to shout you out. I know Al King coming up next, the author. Listen, man, I just want to salute you on everything you're doing, man. And, you know, the music, man, you know, we never know the mission that God gives individuals, man.
All right.
So just keep standing your ground, man, boldly proclaiming the gospel, man, and just keep it moving, man. You know, don't tread on me. Definitely enjoy the song, man. And I encourage everybody just to, you know what I'm saying, pay attention to the struggle out there, and not only in hip-hop, but in the streets as well. So,
just
right
on.
Salute you.
Thank you,
definitely.
Thank
you. You know what I'm saying? And
before you go, you know, before you finish, let them know what you are, you know, who you are, what you got going on and everything.
Oh, yeah, Faith Walker, Straight Talker, host of GQ Palace very own Crossroad Temple. It follows right after Spiritual Sunday. Spiritual Sunday comes at you at 7 o'clock with Sister Lavina, Polite, also Minister Weathers, Big Cheryl Miller. Afterward, you can come on over to Crossroad Temple. We bring forth the very best in gospel, hip-hop, holy hip-hop, gospel singers, and just we break the newest stuff and we also establish stuff. We had the Manhattans on. We had Divine, who also worked with Lil Wayne and LL on there. So definitely come by there. You can come over to the Crossroad Temple.
Bye. You had something else you wanted to ask Titus?
Nah, that's basically it, man. I know the sisters on the line. I know they're waiting for Al King to come on, man. So, you know, we better give him the king then.
Already.
All right. Titus.
Blessings, man. Peace.
Thank you, brother.
Bye-bye.
I want to thank you, but what I want you to do, I want you to give everybody your information, give them your Twitter, your Facebook, let them know what shows you got coming up, let them know everything.
Well, I ain't doing no shows or nothing right now, you know, but I'm on, you can find me on Facebook at the Titus 1-4. That's the Titus 1-4 on Facebook and SoundCloud, on Twitter, the Titus 1-1-4. Follow me on there. Free downloads available on SoundCloud, on YouTube. Look me up. And, you know, if you're looking for something that's different, something that's more positive, something that's healing, something that's different from what the mainstream is showing you, this is what I consider real hip-hop, telling the truth with a message to the music. This is what I consider real hip-hop. The other stuff is watered down, and it's commercial. You know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to sell you nothing. I'm just trying to tell you the truth that helps you change your life and make you can live a little better. Us and our children.
All right. Well, you know,
where
Titus,
I'm at with it.
you welcome back anytime. It's never a problem.
Anytime, man. I enjoy it.
Definitely gonna play. Rotate them and all that.
All right, bro. I appreciate you, man. Thanks for having me on again, man.
All right, Titus. Anytime.
Titus
1-4, Dons and Divas. All right, coming up next, we have author Al King. We're going to talk about his book that's circulating the globe and hitting the nation hard, Let It Be Known. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
It's fun, baby!
For sure.
And here we go. We go. She was a goddess, more than a dime to find. Such an opportunity I could not miss. No, never have I seen beauty like I was beholding with my own eyes. Full of class, her own style, everything from her head. that love to know who's beyond that smile. And she was happy to oblige without hesitation. She broke it all down. She said, I'm a woman who's virtuous, the type that can rally me. I handle a lot of her business, living life to the fullest. I'm the real definition.
Right now, I have Arthur Al King. Arthur Al King, welcome to the show.
Thank you, thank you.
Al, how are you doing, man?
Yo, I'm feeling excellent. I would even put an E at the end of that excellent. So I'm excelente. You know, I'm blessed. You know, just living out the vision and doing what I do with much passion and appreciation. And I just want to thank you for having me on this evening. So I'm appreciative.
Man, I know you were busy, man. You got people calling on a segment before yours asking for you. I see.
Oh, that's love. That's love right there.
It is. Matter of fact, what I want to do before we even get into it, because, you know, she want to speak to you, so I want to bring this caller on real fast and let's say something to you. You know, I'm pretty sure she's going to still listen in, but I want to bring her in because you who she was looking for on the last one, all right?
Okay.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I think this is who you was looking for, Al King.
Yes, I was.
to thank you for joining us. You have Al King on the line with you right now.
Hello. I wanted to say I thank you so much, and you inspire me. And I didn't think that you was going to do it so fast, but you really made it happen. And I hope that you keep on going, because if you let go, then I would let go. I love you so much, and you should know who this is already.
I do, baby girl. I appreciate it so much. I love it. Certainly reciprocated, and I appreciate it. And the thing is that it took so long, though, Cameron, you know, and it feels as if, you know, some of these things that transpire in life, when they do come into fruition, you know, you go through a struggle, you deal with a level of adversity, which we all can relate to. Once we get out of that situation, we tend to not forget, but it feels like the turnover was quicker. But it's still a struggle and it's still a fist fight. You know what I'm saying? By all means. So I definitely appreciate the love and the support. You know, I got your back to the fullest, you know, and I'm humbled by you even publicly acknowledging, you know, my contributions, you know, to your inspiration. And that's what it's about. If I can inspire anyone and empower anyone through my words, my thoughts, my actions, my executions, you know, it's never in vain. So I appreciate it. And the love right back at you, baby girl.
Thanks. You're welcome. Oh, mother,
you got me feeling. You got me feeling.
I'm about to cry right now.
So you got me feeling like. You got me feeling like I'm somebody.
You are. And I wanted to tell you that we have spoken, and you told me that you was going through a little struggle. And then for me to see it, and then you're right back on, I had to make sure I was the first caller to come in to let you know that you didn't let go, so I'm not going to let go, and I'm going to keep on fighting, and I'm going to let it be known. I'm going to tell my story. So keep on, and I'm going to follow, and I'm going to have a lot of people follow me also.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That's touching.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you much.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I gotta wait for these tears.
She's in tears right now.
I gotta wait for these tears. You made me so happy, you know? You made my day. Like, you picked, remember I told you my self-esteem was very low, and I needed that courage, and I needed that push. And that's what I see you do it, because I know you came from nothing to somebody, so I know that I can do it. So that push, I'm back on. I feel myself, like, now I have to look in the mirror and tell myself that I can make it. If I feel down, I need to read that, pick up that book and read it.
And you know, you know what, Cameron, you know, let me respectfully interject. The thing is, and you know, I want to share this with everyone that's listening this evening, and that's what this is about. It's really not about book sales, not even about that. Just making a difference. And you know, anyone that personally knows me knows that I'm an advocate for solutions. You know, I'm from despair. I'm from what I call spicy ham and cheese. You know, cold water, no heat, you know, the oven on. So, and that's my realities, and those are the things that I have experienced. But life is about a testimony and sharing that testimony, and that's what this book, Let It Be Known, is about. It's about sharing a piece of me and being transparent through my testimony, but also, you know what I'm saying, sharing some of these challenges and solutions in these issues and speaking to the reader through prevalent dialogue and saying, you know what, this is what we have to deal with. This is what we're faced with. This is what we should consider doing, you know, and being in that kind of position. So, you know, again, I'm always humbled by any kind of testimony that's shared. And, you know, if what I'm doing is helping somebody, I'm not losing. I'm winning.
Mm-hmm.
God is definitely using me as a vessel, you know, just to speak through, you know, through this gift and through this tool of the pen, you know, and I'm always humbled and appreciative. And I take the time all the time just to show honor and pay homage.
Wow.
And I was, and like I told you, and I said, when I feel that I'm actually a child born with a disability, you have been there for me, even just with an ear. It didn't matter, and you encouraged me. So that's what pushes me up, because a lot of people who are disabled are going through a struggle. I'm 26 years old, and I'm trying to live independent, and you show me that. You give me that coverage. to make it when no one else is there for me. So if you can show me that, I can grab someone else that's going through a worse struggle than I am when I feel that it's that someone else is going through it.
You're trying to make me cry. You're trying to make me mushy. You're trying to expose me.
Not at all. I'm just trying to give you your credit when your credit is due.
I appreciate that. I definitely appreciate it and I receive it. Let Brother Rich, you know, let Brother Rich grab this steering wheel again. Because you're going to be trying to take that somewhere else. You're trying to, yeah. But I appreciate it, Karen. I really do. I really do appreciate it. You know how much I love and adore you. You have a genuine, genuine heart. And just hearing that, and, you know, it's an affirmation that I'm doing something correct. You know, something correct. So, again, I appreciate it. Appreciate it.
And thank you, and thank the person that let me come on to give.
This is
what
Rich
is
Money.
His name? Rich.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Rich.
Brother Rich Money.
Hi, Rich Money. Thank you so much for giving me this time. I know that I probably done ran over my little time, but thank you so much for giving me that time to my own. And I'm still listening.
Okay. Not a problem at all. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Got the lines flooded, but I want to, you know, talk to you for a minute before we accept some more callers. Now, your book, Let It Be Known. Mm-hmm. How did you come up with that title? What made you name that book, Let It Be Known?
All right. Wow. It's a good question, and I'm not going to be too long with this. I actually wrote the book back in 2004, so this is not something that I just, you know, I woke up one day and I said, I'm going to write a book, I'm going to put it out. So I initially wrote the book back in 2004, and the original title was The Al King Point of View. So at this particular time, I was representing an artist in the music industry. I was signed to Bad Boy Records, and I was going through some things, you know, with the particular client, and I sat down with his attorney. So we were in Manhattan having lunch one day, and I had my manuscript with me. He was like, what is that? And I said, it's a manuscript book that I actually intend on putting out eventually. So I pulled it out, and he said, let me look at it. So he looked at it, and he saw the title, and it said The Al King Point of View, and he said, why is this the title? That it's going to be my perspective on what I feel a lot of us are dealing with, some of the issues and some of the challenges and fights that we're dealing with, and you know, I'm a put my perspective on it, my spin on it. And he says, but Al, who are you? Nobody cares about your point of view. So right there, something struck in me, a chord, and I didn't get defensive, neither did I get offended. I said to him, I said, that's exactly the emotion I want to provoke. So when I left him that day, I said, regardless of the facts, I'm going to let it be known. So it stuck in my head, and I said, let it be known, the Al King point of view. I said, that got a ring. And that's exactly how I came up with the title. And I shared it with some people in my media circle, and they was like, yo, that's it right there. That's it. You know, stay with it. You know, and I went home and I kind of edited my manuscript and I put Let It Be Known on the front page, and I just loved the way it looked, and it felt good. And that's pretty much how it came about.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, is there a message in your book that you want the readers to grasp as they read in your book?
Oh, it's so many lessons, so many jewels, you know, that I put inside the book. What's been very, very touching is to have a reader read my book and say to me, you know what, I was dealing with this and I couldn't quite understand what I had to do to create a solution. But I read your book and now I can pretty much navigate toward a solution. So it's not one particular lesson, but I would say the overall lesson that I want people to take from the book, and what I want you to get the most out of the book, is that you can't resolve any of your problems on your own. Outside of the higher being, or whatever belief that you have, if you believe in God or not, there's something that you have to believe in. And most of the time, our beliefs are inspired by something. So when it comes to books, we all look for information, guidance, some kind of feasible input from literature. So I just want my book to be that piece of literature, that piece of work that someone can say, you know what, let me go inside here and dig in here and get something that I really need out of it. And it's, you know, so far it's been doing that. The reception of the book, you know, has been doing that, you know, globally. Just to create something and have readers from India, China, Africa, and people contact you and say, you know, I got this book, and it's a 5-star book. It's a must-have. You know what I'm saying? So I did something right, and I can't take too much credit for it. You know, and like I said, just being a vessel of God and Him actually working through me and putting His body of work together to touch so many people and give them some things that they were probably missing, you know, in their journey. I hope I answered your question for the rest.
Yeah, you did. Now, I'm going to take a call, but I want to ask you another question. I'm
Is there anything you feel particularly challenging
in your writing?
Anything challenging in my writing?
Yeah. The writing
you know, what's interesting with my creative journey, my pen, when I write something, I don't go back and read it. So I freestyle my writing. Like, I never read my book. I never went back and read the book in its entirety. I know what I wrote, but I never went back and read it in its entirety. Even when I wrote the book, you know, I write a paragraph, a page. I don't go back and read it and let me see how that sounds. So it just it comes out of me, it pours out of me, and it's a gift. It's really a gift. So I really don't have any challenges because I could pretty much write about anything. So when I'm inspired and I'm in the moment, you know, I'm always writing. I'm writing every day, all day. So things come to me, I lose a lot of thoughts sometimes when I'm in a position where I can't write something down. So I try to keep a pen, paper handy, you know what I'm saying, because I'm always scribbling down concepts and ideas that come to me, you know. So the biggest challenge probably with writing, for me, is just it never stops.
Okay. Now, is your book self-published, and if so, whichever one it was, how long did it take to publish?
I published the book. What I did was, early on, I had shot my book, my manuscript, to a traditional publisher, and I got shut down, which is offensive. Anyone that you know, we're all artists, so when we create something, you know, you want it to be received. So when I started to put it out there and shop it, and you know, to get your manuscript back with a letter saying, you know what, we have something similar to your work, we're going to pass on it. It was kind of like, really? So that has forced me. I was always an entrepreneur by heart, so I never really believed in a middleman. So I said, you know what, I'm going to just do this myself. So I pretty much educated myself on the whole entire publishing game, the literary game. And I buckled down, you know, being originally from New York, I transitioned to North Carolina. I put my publishing company in North Carolina. You know, I wanted to get inside a state that was pretty much not as developed and not a bigger city with a lot of potential and a lower tax rate. So I took all of those variables into consideration. I buckled down. I put my publishing company in North Carolina, and I put this book out. Distributed it, marketed it, everything. And the thing is, my book is a quality project. You know, unfortunately, you have self-publishers, you know, and I don't consider myself to be a self-publisher because I want to give other people opportunities bigger than me. It's not about self. You know, I created a platform to possibly help other authors. And I have a lot of authors right now that I'm actually working with and trying to get them up to speed. But it's not... taken as serious because a lot of self-publishers, they put kind of anything out there with their material. You know, I get a lot of books from a lot of authors. You know, I see typos. You know, I see things that I think are not quality. And it kind of puts a black eye on the game. So it's a lot of stigmas around self-publishers. But I've, you know, created this vision on my own. and constructing the company with the intent of making history, doing something different, and, you know, going to the opposite left. But I, you know, in full control of everything that I'm doing, you know, and those aspiring authors that are listening right now, if you go the traditional route, you know, it's hard. They're not doing it. It's very parallel to the music industry. So they don't want to spend the money. So I would suggest just to retain all ownership and control, you know what I'm saying? Learn the game and put your body of work out. But you have to be mindful of the fact that you don't have to have support from a big marketing machine. That's the only thing I'm missing. The huge marketing machine behind me. I have the product and I have the quality and I have the talent, but I need a huge marketing machine behind me so that I can get inside these little nooks and crannies and these crevices. And your credibility is questionable as a new author just coming into the game because you're not proven. You don't have any credibility, so people don't want to take chances with you. But that's what you sign up for when you say, you know what, I want to be the boss. You know what I'm saying? I want to retain some kind of control. And one thing I want to also say, just to finish up, you know, with your question, though, I want to also say, when you have a traditional book deal, you don't have any control over your book cover. You can't choose that.
Mm-hmm.
So that company, a McGraw-Hill or Simon & Schuster, will say, this is what vision we have for your book. The cover may be totally hideous. It may not complement the concept of the book. You have no control over that. So that was something that I definitely didn't want to relinquish or even be in a position to stand like that.
Okay. Well, we're going to take some callers right now, but I want to get them the chapters of letting you know.
Okay.
We got one, Boundary Reason Standard. Two, Black on Black Crime. Three, Trust Your Gut. Four, 30 Minute Rule. Five, Energy Vampires. Six, Head of Household. I want to get into that Energy Vampires too.
Okay.
Seven, are you in a situation or a relationship? Wow. Eight, is blood really thicker than water? Ooh. Nine, friends lie, enemies are honest. 10, crabs in a barrel. 11, it's not about keeping the grill up, it's about keeping it right. I like that too. 12, your networking. Excuse me. And 13, do you want to survive a little? Now, I want to take some callers real fast because I just wanted to fill it because my lines is flooded. I wanted to fill them in on what's going on and everything, those chapters
okay.
of the novel. But we're going to go to a couple of callers and then we're going to come back. Is that all right?
Okay, that's cool.
All right. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yeah, Al came on the line.
Yes, sir. Well, first and foremost, I'd like to thank you for having them. And I also like to thank the brother because he's not only been, you know, like a role model, which I never had, but he's been like a mentor. And I was proud to say that, you know, I read the book. And one of the things that touched me most is a chapter, and I'm not sure what chapter, but it's called the 30-Minute Rule. And it was just profound.
Yeah, 30-Minute Rule. Mm-hmm.
And, what I'm so thankful about, because when I heard about the book, you know, I said, well, describe the book. You know, I'm so used to looking at, you know, a book, you know, by judging it, you know, as on its face or looking at the cover. And I've seen nothing. I was like, what's so special about this book? And when they told me it's like 50 Shades of Grey, which is a mental version, I said, wow, let me go ahead and pick this book up. And when I got it, I said, wow, you know? And it was like a profound transformation. You understand? And I just want to say, man, keep doing what you're doing and continue to use that gift of thought and that gift of expression that you was blessed with. Because a lot of us are giving messages and not careful of the message that's received in the name of self. You understand? They want this and they want that. But nobody is trying to boost or empower the political, economically and socially disenfranchised. And I don't want to take up all your time, but it's a great book. And unfortunately, you know, I didn't have two copies, you know, because, you know, people be like, yo, where'd you get the book? And I want to say, yeah, you could hold the book, but I consider it my urban, you know, it's like my urban Bible, my spirit, my fool. I mean, yo, look, every chapter was something. And I was like, wow. So I really want to know, you know, if it's okay. Like, do you have any formal training, or is this something that you picked up from just everyday living? Because it sounds like a psychiatrist, like a doctor. Like, you know, just, I don't want to give it away, but, and that 30-second rule, and he said it's so true, man, is that when you meet somebody, you give away your whole self in 30 minutes. Like, you know, tell them everything, your weakness, and whatever you like, they're going to be what you like, and what they don't, they're going to be what you not. So anyway, I don't want to take up all your time, brother. I thank you, you know, and
good brother,
I'm looking forward for the part two, man. Peace, man. Y'all be safe, man. I appreciate what y'all doing.
I appreciate it. See that, you know, and that's touching. And the thing, you know, he's not the first one that asked me that, because, you know, and I'm going to answer his question real quick in terms of formal training. I've you know, went to college. I don't have a degree. You know, I did not finish college. It was a time when people were telling me I couldn't write. You know, and you can't believe what people say because you have dream killers. You know,
yeah, exactly.
A lot of people have insecurities with their own selves, and they try to crush yours. They try to crush your own security. So I've never had any formal writing ability. This is all a gift. This is all innate. You know, ever since I was young, I would always write down my thoughts. So, you know, I think, you know, at some point I was honing my own craft. You know. Good. We're going to talk about that. You know, we're going to talk about that 30-minute rule. The 30-minute rule is interesting. I don't want to put too much out there because I do want people to read the book.
Yeah, but, exactly. My life is flooded. You know, we want to give them a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
we'll go to another caller, first. Brother Rich. You know, you got to stand well.
All right, we got the next caller coming on. You ready?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hello, caller. Are you there?
Hi, this is Kia.
Hey, Kia.
How are you, the caller? I love the book, and I really love the book. And, of course, the 30-minute rule was on the part two of the code, and then the one was the struggle. And then, you know what, the part three, when you talked about people we live with, friends, lies, enemies are honest.
Enemies are honest, yes.
People have to get this book. I was just sharing with you, this book is, he's right, this book you can carry every day. And I'm not knocking authors. You know how you can read a book, but you don't want to go back and read it and talk about it? But your book, you can read and reread and talk about it with somebody and share it with somebody, because that's how good this writing. And the cover is awesome with the pen and how you have it right there, A.L. King point of view. The cover is awesome.
Thank you.
And your book is the type of book you can go back and reread. You can like have a night out with the girls and just share each chapter about the 30-minute rule, which is under the code. I mean, it breaks it down. The book is awesome. I loved it. And the fact that I don't know if you're going next week, but I wish you were going to the Harlem Book Fest next Saturday.
I know you're the second one that told me that.
I was telling people, y'all should come with me and go get this guy's book. I'm telling y'all. I'm like, I wonder if he's going to the Harlem Book Fair next Saturday, the 18th. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, I'm out of town. I'm not in New York. Thank you. I appreciate that. And that's what it's about. You know, y'all all warm in my heart. And, you know, when you put something out here, you put a product out there, you know, we're all artists, so we get frustrated when we feel like the masses are not getting it quick enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this, you know, and I'm not tooting my own horns, but I'm speaking from my
you got everybody else tooting it, and especially on Goodreads. I'm a big fan of Goodreads. If you go on Goodreads and you read your if everything is five, giving you five or more.
No,
Goodreads,
I love
because Goodreads have a ride to people who read. If you go to sites that people that read, you get to see what people are reading and what they're saying. So you go to Goodreads, which is a very, very valuable source. They are giving you high praises on your book, so it's under Goodreads. So I live by those type of sites, because you're like, oh, did you read someone? I'm like, what part did you read? You didn't read nothing? So I like to go to sites like that, because I know I like average reader. I love readers. So when people are reading something, they're telling you what they're reading. And they're telling you what they're like. And everybody that read your books are giving you more than five on your book.
I know, and I appreciate it.
And that's on Goodreads. And that's a valuable source that, you know, because I love Goodreads. I'm a member of Goodreads, so I read those. And, of course, they're giving you over 5 on the book. People who have read it, people who have reread it again, have shared it with other people, and have, and I'm just, and like the other guy said, I don't lend out my books because I want my books to come back the same way that I have them. So I don't lend out books. I'm sorry, you cannot have my book. So I always say you got to get your own book because I like my book to come back to me.
You know, I saw something before I came on the show. I saw a review. I believe it was on Barnes & Noble. It was on something, and someone was just praising the book, and I was like, wow, because I can't see everything.
I can tell you right now, you're definitely getting the five. You're definitely, I can tell you, because I'm always on it, because I go to a lot of book fairs. I go to a lot of book readings and everything, and I'm not knocking any author. You're right. There's a lot of grammatical errors. There's a lot of stuff that they're rushing to get their product out there, and then you be like, And I'm not knocking them. I'm like, oh my God, that book was horrible. Did you read chapter 4? First of all, 4, 5, 6, 7, I was lost. Then they come back with something else, because that's a reader. You're going to remember what they've written, and you can go back and say, no, 4 through 8 was, I don't know what he was right talking about. But your book, you can automatically say, oh my God, you can't even put that book down. It's 150 pages. You can read that book in 2 hours. You're done. You can read that book. It's done. That's how good that book is. But you are definitely getting the 5 in that category. And when you go to all the reviews, Goodreads, Barnes & Noble, you name it, they're giving off. It's a lot of testimonies up there. There's a lot of testimonies behind your book on Goodreads. People are reading these books. So I like to go back and read. Like, wow, I was thinking the same thing about this book. And like the other guy, I cannot lend out my book. You know how many people want to borrow my book? I'm like, no. You got to figure out how to get it. But I just do not lend out books. That's nothing against anybody. It's just that I just do not lend out books because I want my book to come. It's something when you have a book like that, you want to keep it. And I've learned to keep a, like you said, a thought book. I keep a thought book. I always kept a thought book. And I write my thoughts every day. Thoughts that I'm thinking about, I write it in a book. I carry it's like my Bible. I just carry that thought book from it. And I learned that from you and various other authors. But I do keep a thought book.
Thank you. I appreciate the support and love. That's gonna make me cry tonight.
You're great, Austin. You're great. You're really great. I couldn't even believe it when I saw it on the DQ thing. I said, oh my God, isn't that? Oh my God, I had to couldn't wait to get where I was going so I could sit down somewhere and call in. I was just sharing to Arena. I'm like, oh my God, do you actually know who this is? I was just sharing with Levine. I was like, oh my God, you know who that is? Y'all gotta read his book. We all gotta talk about his book later on. I was just sharing with Levine. We all gotta talk about his book later on. I've read it. I don't know if they read it, but I read it.
Fill everybody in on something on it, but not too much. You know,
I'm not gonna give nobody nothing because I read it myself. You all gotta read it.
Yeah, this book is I've seen it's hot like crazy.
It is hot.
Hot like crazy.
Thank you.
But y'all giving
me goosebumps.
So we gotta find out where we can get order more of your books because it's hard getting, you know, because I'm not.
Al,
if you want to real fast, you can give them the information right now and we'll give it again at the end of the segment.
Okay.
Right.
So you can go directly to my website, thealkingpointofview.com. Is also available on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Lulu, Kobo. You could go to the Google Play Store. You could download
my
app.
I think Barnes & Noble is out.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
I believe so.
I'm telling you right now, I think Barnes & Noble is out. If I'm not...
Al, I think she's on her book more than you are right now.
Yeah, but Brother Rich, I can't keep up with everything.
You got a secret agent behind you, man.
I mean, I can't keep up with everything, so it's
a lot.
I
think that, Al, that's why, and I think Amazon is too, because I'm an Amazon Prime member, and that's why people were telling me they don't see it. I was like, well, I don't know. Y'all can't borrow my book, so I don't know. So I think Amazon and Barnes & Noble is out. That's why
you gotta Google. You gotta, you know, and everyone that's listening, I appreciate the love. So I'm very humbled by this evening. You know, you go to the website. I mean, you can go to Google and just Google me, Al King. Let it be known. You know, and again, my website is thealkingpointofview.com.
So
of course, I need people to order the book and support the book and get behind it and continue to show me love. I'm trying to kick these doors in.
Yeah, but I think they are out, if I'm not mistaken. So you got to get more books out there.
All right, so Key, I want you to stay on the line. See, I have another caller.
Thank you.
Okay.
Sia.
Thank you so much. And keep and I'm agreeing. Make sure another two coming out. Make sure a part two or something coming out.
Oh,
no,
I got
right
two and three ready.
All right, well, hurry up. Get it out there.
All right. We have another caller for you, Al. We're going to bring try to get the callers through, you know. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, Al. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good.
I'm great.
Thanks. I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
What could you tell me that would make me purchase your book? I mean, even though I've heard the other two callers, that's enough to make me purchase it, but I want to hear what you would say.
It's a collage. It's a collage in my perspective of a multitude of things that I feel you'll either be facing or have faced. So it's instructional, it's motivational, it's inspirational, and it's a must-have. And I wouldn't mislead you because I live by an honest code of being honest. And then I have a special right now for only on my website at the Outkick Point of View with an ebook for
$199. Wow.
So I've made it economically friendly. You know, and believe me, some people by my side like, whoa, raise that price up. You crazy. Just today someone was telling me that. I'm like, you got to raise that price up. But, I want to push the book, you know, more and more. And, you know, the economy is crazy. So, you know, I wanted to make it economically friendly. And, you know,
and
living
you
in a digital
help
world.
Someone that's not able to pay no $15.99 or whatever the cost, you know. And $2 plus? That's nothing,
wow.
You know?
Come on, that's two McDoubles with Big Mac sauce.
Exactly.
Okay, and another question I have, because I was told that, you know, I should write a book about stop smoking. What would you tell me, or what words did you give me to even begin, you know, because I've never ever thought about that.
I would say in the spirit to pursue your passion. You know, someone can tell you to write a book, but if you don't feel it in you, you're not going to write the book.
Okay.
So if you're passionate about it, whatever it is, and if that writing is passionate, I would tell you to begin writing it. Just write your thoughts down. Get in front of the computer and begin to disperse that passion and just bring it out. You know, and that's the first step. So it has to be a mental decision, a connection with your passion.
Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, you know, I was just sitting here listening to you, and, like, I was like, wow, this is deep, you know? And the thing is, I mean, you know, I've never, ever thought about doing anything of the such, but, you know, it could be possible. And I could be passing something by, but, you know, I just want to know, what would you tell a beginner, you know? But, you know, from what I've heard, I want to commend you and tell you to keep up the good work, which I know you're keeping God first, and just keep pushing it. Keep doing what you do, because I am going to purchase this book, because it may help me in a long run. Some things that I'm going through.
Thank you. But to answer your question, what I would tell anyone to do, and I'll reiterate this again, is just to pull that passion out of you. You know, most of the time, we kind of kill off our own dreams and our ambition.
Okay.
So by ignoring those passions, it's something inside each and every one of us that we don't have to think about doing. It makes us feel good doing it. Some of us are very passionate about cooking, but we refuse to take the step and say, you know what, let me become a chef. Let me cook. Let me work toward getting a restaurant. Some of us know how to sew very well. We feel good when we're doing it. So whatever makes you feel good, and it's a particular craft that ignites that emotion in you, I'm big on passion, so I would say connect with your passion. What are you passionate about? Pursue.
I mean, you know, I love my computer, so that would be a big start. I sit here day in and day out most of the time on the computer, So that could help me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I don't, you know, I need to find something to do with my time. And it's never too late, you know, to learn anything or to pursue whatever your dream is.
You got to do it. I mean, it's better late than never. I mean, a lot of us just procrastinate and contemplate. We spend so many years contemplating. It's important to just be around the right energy to actually complement some of those things.
Okay. I appreciate your answer. I definitely appreciate, you know, and I just have to do what I got to do. But I will think about everything you just said, you know, to if it's my passion, go forth with it. And I appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you for the support. I sure will.
And I'm definitely going to get the book because, like I said, I think somewhere down the road, something in that book is going to make me go forth and feel better about myself, about different situations and everything.
I hear you. I hear
and
you.
And I want to thank you, Al.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
We have another caller for you, Al.
Okay.
Hello, Carla, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening.
Good evening.
I listened to some of the show. I'm in my car and I'm driving and I'm just waiting to hear the his info. I got a pen in hand. I'm trying to drive with my knee, keep my earpiece right and stay safe. So then finally I listened to the information. I definitely am a new fan. I will be purchasing the book. How many books do you have out?
This is actually my debut book. This is my literature game introduction. So this is my first book. This is my first book.
Wow, congratulations and continued success. Many blessings. I definitely will be purchasing the book.
Really appreciate it.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, it got quiet for a minute. I thought I lost.
Yeah, it got quiet. I thought we lost everybody. I said, everybody left.
I was still trying to write while I'm talking and I'm still in my vehicle. I'm pulled over on the side of the road in the rain. But yes, definitely continue success and many blessings. Definitely.
Thank you.
You're definitely going to go far. Like I said, I listened to a little bit of the interview and continued success. Continue.
Thank you.
Many blessings.
Thank you.
Well,
appreciate
have a
it.
Nice.
You too. You well.
Thank you.
Right. Let me get some questions in here. Yeah. Al. Hello? Did we lose Al? Okay, there
I'm
you go.
Here.
All right, there you go, Al. Now I speak. All right,
okay. Okay.
There you go. Now, Al, let me ask you. Because let's get into this 30-second rule real fast.
Okay.
All right. Tell us about this 30-second. Because you got some chapters that, you know, it's like self-explanatory, but in a way it has to be explained. You know what I mean? I don't know if I said
I know what
that
you mean.
Right. You know? So tell us about a little bit about the 30-second rule.
All right. And the thing is, with the 30-minute rule, you know, based on my own experiences, I would sit down, right? I remember being in dating game and, you know, meeting women. And, you know, I would sit down with women, and within minutes, they would expose so much to me without me saying anything. So my intent was never to destroy a woman or manipulate her based on the information that she gave me and break her down in little pieces. Despite all of this information being given to me, and she didn't know me that well, so it kind of provoked me, you know, to write this 30-minute rule. And it's basically what it encompasses is I'm talking to the women in this particular chapter and saying, you know, stop revealing all your deficiencies and your flaws and telling the men what you don't like, For example, if you tell a man, this is how crazy women are, and I think it's hilarious. They'll, within 30 minutes, they'll tell a man, I don't like this kind of man. This is what he did. And, you know, I don't like this. So now he already knows, because the man is writing down in his mind, he's taking mental notes. He's writing down all his notes. All right, she don't like this. She don't like this. She don't like that. So now I know not to do that. So he takes those notes, creates an alter ego. He comes back to the table, and she says, oh, my God, you're perfect. You're just the guy I was looking for. Oh, my God. She sits around with everyone, her girlfriends, everyone. Girl, you don't even know. I met him. I met Al. He's perfect. This is the man that I've been waiting for all my life. No, he's not. What you did was you shared all of what you don't like and what you experienced in the past. So now he knows not to do any of those things. But the hardest thing about being a human is being consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Because he does enough just to form that alter ego to conquer you. And then after that, the alter ego goes away. And he becomes who he is. And then you say, where did that guy go? He been there.
Mm-hmm.
He played the game.
So
I really want to, you know, and I go into it a lot more in this particular chapter, but I'm just giving it to you on the surface,
yeah, exactly.
You know, and I wanted to really drive that point home to women, because they tell, and I, you know, I've been in positions recently with women that I'm platonically connected to, and I'm like, you're talking too much. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had women come back to me and say, you know what, I haven't read this 30-minute rule, I'm coming at everything differently, because I realized I was also a person that would sit there within the first 30 minutes and kind of reveal everything. So I said, just fall back a little bit. Don't talk. Don't say anything when you go out on that initial date with a person, that first physical encounter, and kind of sit in the cut and let him take the steering wheel and let him kind of flow with everything, and you'll see where everything goes. Because most men don't have too much to talk about. They're feeding off of your energy. That's what a lot of women don't understand. If they sit there and they just sit in the cut and don't say anything and kind of just zip it up, he don't know where to go with it. He don't. So I wanted to talk to my lady, and this is a book. This, inside the book, I kind of was an advocate for the women. I didn't want to throw men underneath the bus, but I kind of wanted to let my women know and my queens know. Listen, we got to do a little bit better out here. So I wanted to put, you know, as many jewels as possible out there in this particular chapter, just letting the women know, listen, sit down, relax. Stop putting so much out there, you know, and moving too fast. Slow down a little bit.
Now, when and why do you get writing?
Say it again, Rich.
When and why did you begin writing?
Ooh. When and why did I begin writing?
Yeah.
I always, you know, I probably since I was younger, and my mother's probably listening right now. I was always a quiet kid, and I kind of always, you know, I was artistic, so I would always either draw, just kind of write my thoughts down. But and I had a lot of people always tell me, "Wow, you put your words together. You're so good with words. You're so eloquent with words." And I kind of said, you know, I really want to touch people through my words on a broader scale and not so intimate, you know. And, it, you know, God just gave me that push. And, and I'm going to say this, you know, sometimes we may lose everything and we're yielded in the direction that we need to be in. We don't understand it, but you'll be stripped of everything. Just to be navigated where you need to be, just so that you can fulfill your own purpose. Because we're very hard-headed. We don't see the signs. We don't see any of the preludes. So we ignore these signs, but these signs are actual blessings and putting us in an area, inside a realm that, you know what I'm saying, that we need to be in. And that's what happened to me. You know, I'm supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be writing and artistically sharing my thoughts, you know, through my words. You know, I'm where I need to be. So I've connected with my purpose. You know, that's what I'll say about that. I've definitely connected with my purpose.
Now, if you had to choose, which writer would you consider a mentor?
If I had to choose one chapter?
So, if you had to choose out of all the authors out, which writer would you consider to be a mentor to you?
Ooh. That's a tough... Writers right now?
Mm-hmm.
In the present?
You know, anybody that's, you know, Donald Goins, anybody.
Yeah, I would probably say Donald Goins, because he was so prolific in his writing, you know, from an urban perspective. And I think, you know, it's sad that he's respected. I just think that his literature should have been a lot bigger. You know, definitely and certainly, I read a lot of his books, so definitely inspiration for me. You know, definitely. But I would have to, off the top of the head, I would definitely have to say Donald Goins. Just from, you know, he was just so prolific with the words, and so vivid and so candid, you know, with his, you know, literary expressions. You know, I don't read too many authors, you know, their work now, because I'm always writing, and I don't want them to, you know, alter my, just with me, it alters my creative journey. So I haven't read books in a minute, because I'm always writing. I'm in my own little zone.
Now, I have one more question for you.
Sure.
You know, we've already got number 7 coming on. Now, how much of your book is realistic?
Say it again.
How much of your book is realistic?
I didn't hear that last part, Rich.
It's realistic. How much
realistic?
Realistic, yeah.
Ooh. I'm so transparent in the book, you know, with every chapter. I walk you through certain things that I've experienced. Like, one that's very dear to me is, you know, my chapter, Head of Household. You know, I talk about how my mother struggled. You know, I'm the eldest of four, and, you know, there's a lot of transparency in it. You know, with no knock to my father, you know, I came from a new parent in the household. But my father was very comfortable with us being uncomfortable. We lived in a one-bedroom apartment, you know, myself and three other siblings, and they slept out in the living room on a pull-out couch. You know, I'm a father. I wouldn't put my kids under any conditions. And, you know, I thought that was normal as a child. So, you know, when I became a teenager and kind of wanted my own space, you know, I didn't have any privacy, you know, in any kind of way. So the entire book is true. You know, it's true. It's nonfiction. There's no fiction in there. You know, I shared as much truth as I could, even using myself as an example. Again, being very transparent in the book. Which I wanted to deliver that, because if you can, you know, you could talk the talk, but if you didn't walk it, and I, you know, I kind of suggest some of these things to you, and I say, look, this is what happened with me. This is what I experienced. You know, I kind of went through this. You know, it's a different kind of effect than me speculating.
Wow. So, I really want to thank you. My line is flooded, but I want you to give everybody your information one more time, so that people call us on the line as well. So I want you to give them all your information again about this.
Okay. Okay. And I appreciate it, brother. I definitely appreciate the platform and you just showing me love and extending, you know, this evening, just letting me come out on the show and just work out, you know, have a verbal workout. But you can get the book at thealchemistpointofview.com. It's important that I put that out there. I'm on other platforms, but the book prices are cheaper on my personal website, and I did that on purpose. So again, thealchemistpointofview.com. Of course, I'm on Facebook, Mr. Al King, Al, Let It Be Known King on Facebook. I'm on Instagram, Mr. Al King, on Twitter, Mr. Al King. Most of my handles are Mr. Al King, you know, on the social media platform. I'm human. I interact with people. You know, I'm a driven person. Any way that anyone that's following me on Facebook, any social media platform, you know, I'm consistent. I'm not going to sit here and write a book that I want to empower and inspire people and contradict myself. And you follow me on social media, and I'm talking about what's the movie. So I'm consistent, and you know, I just want to be in a position where I can have a voice and my perspective is received, such as this received. So I just want to, you know, thank everybody, you know, Brother Rich, for extending this platform to me again, and all of the callers that called in, and those that are on the line that just heard me out. You know, continue to support me. You know, if you want good literature, you want substance, you want truth. I think we heard some of the affirmations tonight that I'm not trying to sell you something that's not quality. That's what I'm saying. And I need the support. We need to kick in these doors, and you know, I need to get this. To be known, I need to be sitting on somebody's couch. Oprah Winfrey, I need some machines behind me. The only way I can do that is with support and word of mouth and people buying the book and talking about it.
We're definitely going to put it out there. We're going to put it in GQ College Magazine. We're definitely going to do everything. Yeah,
thank you, Brother Rich.
Do everything we can to get that put out there more than what it is now. Hitting the nation hard. I need the nation hard. You know, I do got to have it back too again because it's still something.
Yeah. Let's
I
do
need
it.
To ask you and find out. You know, we had another segment, but all the callers done took our time away. So I like to get the callers in. You know, let them say what they got to say.
But let's do it though, Rich. You know, I'm here though. You know, just let me know. You know, and you know more than anything, I'll come back on. And let's talk about it furthermore. Let's do it. You know, whenever
right.
You're ready, I'm ready.
All right. I'm going to definitely let you know. I'm going to give you a call no later than Sunday and let you know.
Appreciate it. Yep. Let's do it.
All right.
Love is love, good brother. I appreciate it, though.
Stay here, Al. Al King, Dawes, and Diva. Don't forget. His book, Let It Be Known, it's on fire. Definitely going to have him back on. Coming up next, we have singing sensation, Charles Wilson in the building. And we're going to play his smashing single that's circulating the globe, hitting the nation hard. What one man won't do, another will. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
It's fire, baby!
The show.
Get what's yours and what's mine. right, Dons and Divas. Welcome back to the palace. And with me right now, I have Charles Wilson. Charles, welcome to the show.
Thank
Charles,
you so much.
Yes,
sir.
I want to thank you for joining us, man. I know you're a busy man. You got a lot of things going on.
Well, just trying to do what I do.
Hey. You're doing it. You're definitely doing it. Now, what I want to get to you, you know, I got your phone. They are wow. Now, let me ask you. Blues. Are you mainly into blues? Because I listen to that EPK.
Okay.
Those are some fire songs right there.
Okay.
And it sounds like the blues, a little bit of the blues is in there.
Well, it is. I came from the market that they all call the Chitlin Circuit, which now is being called Southern Soul. I've been recording over there since 1978. I've been through three generations over there. And coming up as a teenager, it was considered the Chitlin Circuit, which, you know, James Brown, Lou Rawls, Aretha Franklin, Al Green, my late great uncle Little Milton, Tyrone Davis, Johnny Taylor, ZZ Hill, O.B. Rice, Hill Johnson, Abbott Queen. All of those guys came from that market, Gladys Knight, and it was just considered the Chitlin Circuit, and it was considered rhythm and blues. And as the years went past, they started calling it blues. And they started separating blues from the class R&B. And that's where they started putting your R. Kelly's, your Prince, and people like that in R&B. And they was calling that market blues. 1996, a friend of mine that owned Jewel Parlor Records, he called me up one day. He said, Charles Wilson, he said, you all are not blues artists. You guys are soul artists. You're Southern soul artists. And from that point, he put out a compilation titled Southern Soul Volume 1, Southern Soul Volume 2. And from that point, that is where the word Southern Soul came from, Lenny Lewis at Jewel Parlor Records out of Shreveport, Louisiana. And that's where it all started, with that name Southern Soul.
Now, the first race came when you got the opportunity to go on the board with the legendary Harvey Flush. Tell us about that.
I'm not hearing you very clear.
Okay, you can hear me now?
I can hear you now, yeah.
Okay. I said your first break came when you got the opportunity to go on a road with legendary Bobby Rush. Explain that to us and explain to the people who Bobby Rush is, those that don't know.
Well, Bobby Rush is a Chitlin Circuit artist that also works the predominantly white market now, and so do I. First year high school, my division teacher, Benny Carter, went out to the Lake Meadow Shopping Center in Chicago, where I'm originally from, on 29th, around that area, 29th in Michigan. And he saw this entertainer by the name of Bobby Rush, and so Bobby Rush had a manager by the name of Andre Williams, not the artist, Andre Williams, the race car driver. So my teacher, Benny Carter, said, listen, I have a student of mine that want to break into the business. So from that point, Andre and him exchanged numbers, gave him Bobby Rush's number. I went to meet Bobby Rush. Bobby Rush owned the Barbecue House, 79th and Halston in Chicago. Not knowing that Bobby Rush was a personal friend of my uncle, Lou Milton, I went to talk to Bobby Rush, and I told him I wanted to record. And Bobby Rush said, well, you know, if I was going to record an act, it would be an act like a Sam and Dave. He said, but keep in touch with me. So I continued to keep in touch. And he told me one day, he said, you know, you are so determined. I'll take you around with me. So I started as a valet, which was carrying his clothes, to driving his van and becoming a protege, which opened up the show. And from that point, I stayed out there with Bobby Rush for like 5 years.
I was going out on weekends. When I graduated out of high school in 1975, I started doing my own thing. I went to college for a year and a half. The guy James Maestro Mack, who arranged records for Tyrone Davis and my Uncle Milton, would pay for me to go to college at Leap Junior College, which is now downtown 140 North Lake. It's Harold Washington College now. And my mom and dad tried to get me to stay in school to be a lawyer because they thought I was pretty smart, but that was not a part of my dream.
Uh-huh.
And so I started doing my own thing musically. I recorded my first record in 1978, which was produced by a duo. Years ago, it was a Simtek and Wally. I don't know, most people don't remember them now, but Simtek Simmons produced a record on me, and before we got finished with the album, he turned to be a Muslim, and that stopped that. So that record never came out. 1984, my producer was L.V. Johnson, who played guitar for Tyrone Davis for 13 years, produced the 12-inch single title, Trying to Make a Wrong Thing Right. And back then, it was expensive to record because it was all live musicians. My first record cost me like $8,700, and it was just a single. And that's where Charles Wilkins' career truly started, right there in recording.
Well, what I want to do right now, I want to get into your first game.
I didn't hear you that clearly. So you want
the
to get into my part. First what now?
Your first
okay,
single,
that,
the after part. Tell us about
that's
that.
That's not my first record, but that's a record that I recorded in 2007.
Yeah, this is the first one we're going to play right now, you know.
Okay, all right.
Well, tell us a little bit about that single.
Well, I had did a CD title, If Heartaches Was Nickels for Del Mar Records in Chicago. My Uncle Lou Milton took me to the company, which I knew Bob Kessler for years. And I was working what they call the predominantly white market. And a guy, Dylan, who owned CBS Records, got in touch with me and asked, would I like to do a CD that was being produced by Cameo, a member of Cameo, Simeo Overall. And I said, yeah. And so we did the CD After Party, which titled songs like That Boom, Someone Broke Into My Heart, Plumber Man. And After Party was the title of the CD. And that was in 2007. That's how that CD came about. And then I started working back over in this Southern Soul genre of music.
Okay, so, you know, we're going to get into that single right now.
Okay.
All right, Dons and Divas. Here it is, the After Party by Charles Wilson. Remember where you heard it, GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
So fly, baby.
Yes, you were
at the
started. So pour another drink, yeah. I see you sipping on Bacardi. Girl, I'm so glad you came, yeah. I'm glad you know your name. I'm having the time of my life. I hope you're feeling the same, yeah. The dance floor is open, so let's get it right. No time for sitting or standing. I like what I see, and you're feeling me. I'm so glad that you didn't leave.
Plumber Man, a lot of songs on that album. He produced the whole entire thing, and he wrote that song. He wrote Broken to My Heart and Plumber Man on the After Party CD. That's the title cut right there.
Now, what made you decide to use, I believe Charles Wilson is your government name, right? That's your real name.
That's my real name. I've been using that name from the beginning of time. I mean, from age 7, singing in church is Charles Wilson, no middle name. I know I run into a lot of hurdles because Charlie Wilson is so hot. And people mistaken me, they're like, is you Charlie Wilson? You, you know, and I know I'm Charles Wilson. So I'm forever explaining because Charlie Wilson is so hot. In fact, I remember years ago before Charlie Wilson made a comeback, I would work L.A. and I would check into a 5-star hotel and I would get all these strange phone calls of people trying to find Charlie Wilson. And sometimes it was a little bit scary, if you understand what I'm saying. But however, now I really get it because people will say, are you Charlie Wilson? Or Charlie, I love seeing you at the blah blah festival. Aren't you gonna be at the such such? And I'm like, no, I'm not Charlie, I'm Charles, you know. But Charles Wilson is my name. I've used it all my life, and that's just it. I played about 4 years ago, I played the ambassador in St. Louis for Craig Sproles, who owned Ambassador, and Charlie Wilson had just left out of there probably a month from the time that I went, and I was it was a Thanksgiving night I played, and backstage, you know, all the artists signed their names, so I saw Charlie Wilson's name, so I signed mine under that. But also, his manager called the owner and said, "Listen, we headed to a lawsuit because some young lady that is managing knew said that the owner would advertise and Charlie Wilson coming back, and the manager knew that wasn't true. And so when Charlie Wilson's manager called, he said, no, it's Charles Wilson, the young man that recorded Plumber Man, Mississippi Boy, not Charlie. So they got that squared away. But I've been mistaken with the name people, because they only know one Charlie Wilson. So when you say Charles, they thinking you're talking about Charlie, you know?
Exactly. Now, considering you've been in music business so long, how do you feel about the music that's out now compared to the way it was back then? You know,
well,
you had Marvin Gaye, Let's Get It On, and, you know, Yourself, and, you know, how do you feel about that?
You're talking real records. You're talking about qualified, super qualified songwriters, producers, recording artists. They, you know, when I came up in the business, we couldn't go to the radio station. We had to hire a promotion man. And distribution was hard. Distribution was almost as hard as Obama becoming president, okay? That's how serious it was. You couldn't go to the radio station yourself. And when a promotion man took your record, here was two main questions. They'd listen to the record and make sure it was mixed properly. And if it wasn't mixed properly, they'd give it back to the promotion man. The next thing they would do is call the local stores and make sure a record was in the stores, because if record was in the stores, that meant that you had distribution. And if records wasn't in the stores, no matter how great the record was, they say, look, come back and see us when you get distribution. Those things was taken care of. But now, basically, you can just go in the radio station and get your record played. And when I came up in the game, it costed real money to record a record. Now people cut a record on their computer and there it is, you know. So it has changed. But when Marvin Gaye was cutting records, it was real records, real music.
Yeah.
Here. It was heart and soul stuff. It was no ifs, ands, buts about it. When I recorded the record in April, What One Man Can't Do, I could have easily cut some booty shaking stuff and all of that. But I just wanted to cut a real record that made some sense. And when you say what one man won't do, another one will, it's a message to the ladies, because I know so many ladies feel that way, and they don't be as vocal about it. So me saying what one man won't do, another one will, it's just a message truly for the ladies. And it wasn't recorded to dance off of or whatever. It was just a message. You know, and the way they cut records back then and the way they cut records now is totally different. It's, as I said earlier, you know, Al Green, Tyrone Davis, Johnny Taylor, it was rhythm and blues then. Now they'll say, hey, this is blues or this is Southern soul and this is traditional blues. I remember when the markets first started getting separated. When Prince came on the scene, the market starts to separate. Before then, everybody that played, I lived in Chicago, and it was a WGRT, WDON, and all of that. Everybody that played on the same station. In the 80s, kind of when Prince came on the circuit, the music starts to divide, and you either had, they wasn't talking Clear Channel and Kenwood. They said, well, you got to get your record played on the FM station. Because back then, it was AM, AM, AM. And when Prince and them came on the circuit, it started being AM and FM, and you had to be like almost R&B to get your record played on the FM station. That was a task for an artist, you know. So time has truly brought about a change, and it has truly been divided in so many sectors until you really, it's just divided, you know. I don't consider myself a Southern soul artist. I'm a soul artist. Because I work Switzerland, Germany, Holland. Southern soul is very regional. Southern soul used to be, which was called the Chitlin' Circuit, used to be the biggest market, one of the biggest markets in the world other than country and rock and alternative. Now it's regional, it's secondary, it's Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama. Now, even though they play Southern Soul in Texas or Carolina or Tennessee, it's not Southern Soul market. They play that music. Southern Soul is considered secondary market now. It's considered regional, and it's Mississippi, Louisiana, and Alabama. And that's the way it is.
Well, speaking of what one man won't do, another will, we're going to get into that single. I heard
okay.
that one, too. Tell us a little
okay.
bit about that single.
Well, again, the guy Dylan at CDS, we discussed about doing a new record, and a guy that's been in the business a while, his name is Ricky White. He said he woke up and he had this dream that he wanted to produce a record on Charles Wilson. So I gave him a title, and he wrote that song. We did a complete CD, and this is the single. It just came out last week. It ain't even got truly circulated yet. And he, I gave him the title, and he wrote the song. All the little extras and the little ad-libs, it's my creativity. But that's how that song came about. I'm great with titles because I know what women want to hear. You know, I know how they think. And ladies, no disrespect. Women born selfish by nature, they can't help it. Don't y'all get mad for me saying that. I just know you. But anyway, as Tyrone Davis always said, a woman must be loved. A woman needs to be loved. And I know that a lot of women are going through a lot of changes with men and vice versa, but mostly, you know, women. And when you give them something to fight with and something to stand up with, it more likely it works. And what one man won't do, it's a true thing. Another one will.
Well, we're going to get into that single right now, and then we come back, we're going to take some callers. Stars and Divas,
okay.
We have Charles Wilson on the line, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air. Stay on the line to hear the show. Like I said, if you're on your PCs, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air. Stay on the line to hear the show. Here's his smashing single that's hitting hard. What one man won't do, another man will, by Charles Wilson, right here on GQ Palace Radio. Love and entertainment is butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Yeah. Oh. All you fellas out there, better listen to what Charles Wilson had to say. That's what my woman told
Another
me.
Man.
That's what she said.
What a woman won't do.
Oh, that's what my
baby
said.
What a woman won't do.
Oh, I thought I was a big time player. But I was making a fool of myself.
What a woman won't do.
That's what my woman said.
Another man.
Baby, when a man
Charles, I'm that's realistic too.
and that's why I recorded it. You know, I know that women feel that way, and it's the truth. It's really the truth. What one man won't do, another one will.
Exactly. We have a caller alive for you. I want to bring them on. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, Charles.
Yeah,
how are
Charles
you?
Wilson alive.
I'm fine, and you?
I'm great, especially after I heard that one, Where's the Significant Other? You said,
one man
can't do the other one. So I'm thinking you the other man, so what can you do?
No, I'm just the guy that's singing the song. You know, I have been that other man, but I don't know. I'm single now. I guess I could be that other man because I'm single.
You say you're single?
Sure, I am. Yes, I am.
Oh, I am too, baby. But anywho.
Uh-oh, seems like we finna get a little dateline going on. Well, here's what I want to say to all the listeners out there, and you may want to take your pencil out if it's okay, Richard, if I can do this. For all the people out there that would like a copy of that song, all they have to do is email me at charleswilsonmusic56@gmail.com.
Don't give everybody the information, baby. Just give it to me.
There are other women that feel that way about that song, so I like to get it out to everybody, you know. And as I said again, it's Charles Wilson Music 56@gmail.com. Or you can call Richard and ask Richard would he be kind enough to send you a copy if you don't remember the email.
Well, I would love to
service you all that record. It's only a week old. In fact, it hasn't even really gone to radio stations. Probably the stations that it went to, they haven't even opened it up and listened to it, and it has not been mailed out. So it's just, you know, there's a few people on Facebook been getting the record, like Richard and In the Basement, and maybe just
as long as Richard got it, I'm gonna get it. How about that I'm gonna get it from you, so I don't need to go through Richard. But anyhow,
not a problem. And for all the people that want to get
changed, both of your all your songs, you know, I've enjoyed it seriously.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, you can go on YouTube for all the listeners out there and punch in Charles Wilson. Now, for some reason, they got me and Charlie they got some of my songs in here, some of his songs, mine. But you'll know the difference when you go on
YouTube.
Yes,
I will, sweetheart, because I've already seen
I have
you
a lot of
you all of that.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I just want to tell you, I commend you on your music. You're doing great. Keep up the good work.
Okay.
And you will be hearing from me.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, sweetie.
Okay.
Now, Charles, let me ask you.
Okay.
If you had a chance to perform with any artist, who would it be and why?
Well, if you want to get really serious right now, just to get the first part of the humor off, I'd love to be opening up for Charlie Wilson, because I would like to see the eyes of people saying, hold it, Charlie Wilson, what is that all about? Number one, it'll be an honor, because I've been a fan of Charlie Wilson from the Gap Band days. Also, the man is hotter than kind temper right now. So anybody would want to open up for him, you know, and the exposure that you would get would be tremendous. But just to talk about career-wise, you know, I'm trying to take my career where that I can open for people like Eric Clapton, you know, Buddy Guy, you know, people of that nature, you know. That's just where I want to go with my career. I want to do retro soul, you know, and that's where I want to go. If I have the choice, I say, hey, Elvin Costello, Tom Waits, you know, those type of people I would love to open and work for and work with and record with, you know, Warren Haynes, you know, legendary artist, Greg Allman, legendary artist. That's where my head is. That's where I would like to go. If the choice was mine and the power was in the palm of my hand. Right now, I'm seeking a manager. I'm looking for a manager right now. So if there's anybody out there that want to represent a good soul artist that also can sing the blues, you can take that email, charleswilsonmusic56@gmail.com, and get in touch with me.
Well, you never know. Let's see what goes on. You know, I got a couple of connections. I'll send it to some people. You know,
okay.
See what happens. You know, I know the Manhattans, you know, Delphonics. And...
Well, I know Blue and Drill often. I've worked on shows with them. I know them. I know their agents, and basically that EPK that I sent you all earlier, that's the one I want to market it for, the market I just got through talking about. Not At the Party, not Love Seat, not that. The market I want to go in is that EPK genre, basically.
Oh, yeah.
What they call retro soul, where, you know what I'm saying, where Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, that kind of stuff. I want to go there with my career.
And I got to tell you, I love that Hoochie Coochie, man. I tell you, I love
that. I know. She's listening to me, and when she said she couldn't download that, I said, okay, they must like this song. But we're going to get in touch, and I'm going to send you a personal copy. That CD is titled If Heartaches Were Nickels. It was produced by my uncle, Lil Milton, and Carl Weathersby. And it was on Del Mar Records. It was nominated for a W.C. Handy Award. And then I did a traditional soul CD that was titled Trouble Child, a song that the great prolific writer Sam Dees wrote. And it was on 7 Records out of Baltimore, which was nominated for a W.C. Handy Award. But I'll get you a copy of that It's Hard as a Nickel, because you got a thing for that Hoochie Coochie, man.
Yeah,
and, you know,
I like this.
It was done like a down home blues, you know. It ain't the average Hoochie Coochie man type of song. So it was driven and it had a drive. And a lot of people like it, you know. I was kind of scared to do it because it was going into the predominantly white market, but they loved it. The CD got like four halves of five stars as far as reviews. It was a great CD for me.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I like all of them, but that Hoochie Coochie, man, it got me. I said, oh.
Okay. All
right. Now, let me ask you. What's the best thing you like about being an artist in the music industry? And what's the worst thing about being an artist?
Well, the worst thing is sometimes people want you or think that you should be basically inhuman. It's like I meet people and I hang out with certain people I get to know, and, you know, I cook for a hobby. So I come from a family of 10. I'm the baby, 5 boys, 5 girls. I'm the baby. And everybody in my family, my mom and dad, they moved to Chicago in 1956. I was born in 57. So everybody's born in Mississippi except me. I live in Mississippi now, but I was, you know, let's say corn-fed, as you might say. And some people, not all, the worst thing is that they expect you to be who you're not. And the thing is, I'm just a down-to-earth person. If I like you, I like you. I don't care about the fact that I sing. I tell people, I remember a guy that was a truck driver. He said, Mr. Wilson, it's an honor to meet you. I said, listen, it's an honor to meet you because you as an everyday working man, if you didn't pay to see my show, if you didn't buy a Charles Wilson record, I'll starve to death. So people want you to be down to earth, but then when you be down to earth, sometimes they kind of have the nose turned up like, he ain't this, he ain't that. But then when you don't communicate and socialize, then they'll say to you, they'll say, you think you this, you think you that. So I've watched that through the years with other entertainers, and I just be me, and either you accept me for who I am or you don't. The stage is my job. It's like you might be a nurse at work, but when you get off work, you're just Richard. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm an entertainer on stage. When I get off stage, I'm just Charles Wilson. So I love that part of my life. I love the fact that I can be who I want to be when I want to be him, and I don't have to try and impress nobody. The thing I love about it is being an artist, being someone that they call somebody, it has great perks, I must admit. I'll say there's special treatments in a lot of ways. And who don't like to be treated special? As long as you don't forget the people that make you special. Being an artist, it's a blessing, and I'll take my hat off to any artist that can make a living doing what they love, whether they're a recording artist, whether they're a NBA or an NFL player, whether they, you know, whenever you can make a living with your dream and with your talent that God gave you, I take my hat off to you because it's no business like show business, and that's not a joke. That's the real truth. I've been recording since 1978, as I said. I have 24 CDs, 4 albums, 26, 45. I've been in this circuit 3 generations, and I've seen superstars fall to the bottom, rise back to the top. I've seen them fall and never came back, and I've seen them never, ever, ever got up. And so I used to complain when I was younger, and my Uncle Milton told me, he said, listen, I've been recording longer than you is old. You're blessed. I know guys been in this business before you were born, and people still don't know about it. But it's a whole lot of people know about Charles Wilson. He said, so you got to be thankful. So it made all the sense in the world. So being a recording artist is a great business. It's a great thing. But you got to have the heart bigger than the state of Texas to stand, because this business separates the men from the boys. And for all the young artists that's coming out there, I urge you to get a serious education, have more than one iron in the fire, and therefore, if you do not ever get the break you want, you can still live a good life and put God first.
Yeah,
hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I want to get into one more single, Love Seat. Tell us about that one.
Love Seat was the biggest record I ever had in my life. I was signed with Echo Records in Memphis, and I had recorded the Backstreet CD. I wrote Love Seat in my mind. It never went on a piece of paper. I did a one album deal with Echo. I left Echo, went to James Bennett, where Bobby Rush used to be, Attraction Record, 97. I did a record there. Came back to Echo in 98. We were recording a CD by the name of Snapper. And at the end of the CD, the president always said, well, hey, drink a shot of brandy with me. Well, of course, I'm a cognac man, but I'll take a shot of brandy with me. So he gave me 2 tracks. He said, Charles, next year when you come to record your next record, write something to these tracks. I said, John, That track sound like something that I, that song I told you about, Love Seek, can go to. He said, did you bring the song? I said, I never wrote it on paper. Yeah, I wrote it in my mind after the Backstreet CD. I said, before we drink this brandy, let me get up there and mess with the track. I got up on the mic and I sang three different verses. He said, what you want to name the CD? I said, Love Seek. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll call you in 2 weeks, and if you change your mind, you let me know. He called me in 2 weeks. I said, Love Seek. I said, but you know we're going to lose a hit because ain't no girls moaning in. He said, well, Charles, that ain't going to happen. I said, why? Well, if you remember the R&B singer Randy Brown back in the 70s, you remember Randy Brown?
Okay, the name sound familiar.
He had the song, Tonight is Young, Let's Not Waste It. I'm in the mood. You know.
Oh, okay, okay.
Well, he had, I recorded that song one day in like 99 or whatever. But however, his sisters, Beecham Brown and all them, they come out of Memphis and they sing in church. So John said, Charles, they not going to moan. Those are church girls. I said, John, if you don't get some girls to moan on that record, we're going to lose a hit. So we both hung up the phone. I was a little pissed about it, and he didn't like the way I was saying it to him. But in 2 weeks, he sent me the song finished. It had girls moaning on it. he put the song out, and it hit instantly. I don't mean a month later or 2 months later. It hit the same week, and he forever ran out of records. The record was the biggest record I ever had in my life. It was a different kind of record, and Love Seek was a different kind of a song, but it was a big record to me.
Okay, well, we're going to get into that right now.
Okay.
All right, Dons and Divas, here's another banger by Charles Wilson. Remember where you heard it, GQ Palace, Love Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Listen, let me tell y'all what happened to me the other day. At my door, I heard my woman moaning and groaning. So you know the first thing I thought, fellas. I said to myself, oh, I know this could be happening to me. So I ran up, kicked the bedroom door open, and there my woman was, laying there buck nude. And she was moving just like this. And she had her hand right here. So I walked up to the bed, I said, baby, what's wrong with you? And she put her hand right here, and this is what she said, I want to sit on your love seat, I want to sit on your love seat, I want to sit on your love seat, I want to sit on your love seat. And then she put her hand right here again, and she started to moan louder and louder and louder. In my eyes with that hungry look, and then she said it again, I want to sit on your love seat, I want to sit on your love seat, I want to sit on your love seat, I want to sit on your love seat. And we started to get our groove on, and I let my woman sit on my love seat. And while she was sitting on my love seat, can hear making these sounds again. You see, I know y'all wondering, Charles Wilson, what is a
My show, and they would take their underwear off and throw them on stage. I never understood the effect that that record had on the women, but they would come and they would take their underwear and just throw it on stage. I never understood it. I never understood why they did it, but it just happened. Honestly, they did. I just never understood why they would do that, but they did it, you know? Yeah.
But we're running out of time, Charles. But what I want you to do, I want you to give everybody all your information again.
Okay. Well, if you want a copy of the song, What One Man Won't Do, or you want to know where to find my music, number one, you can go to YouTube. You can go to iTunes, CD Baby, Amazon, and purchase it. If you want a copy of What One Man Won't Do, you can find it over there, too. And you can even email me at charleswilsonmusic56@gmail.com.
I want to tell you, Charles, it was definitely an honor having you on. And you know, we got Same eight here. Different episodes a week, so we definitely going to be rotating the Love Seat, What a Man Won't Do, and After Party. We're going to rotate them all, if that's all right with you. You know.
I truly appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. And you know, whenever you're ready to come back on, or if you feel like you got a new exclusive, just let us know. We going to bring you right back on, no problem.
Well, when they release the CD, I would, because they got a song they're going to release. It's called Baby Let Me Ride. It's pretty deep.
Okay.
It's a song. It's a love song, but it's saying, I want to ride your body tonight. Child, I like to come back on and talk about that song. But, you know, I'll stay in touch and let's stay in touch, and we, you know, I truly appreciate you all for listening and having me on the show, and I thank you so very much.
I thank you for coming on, and it was definitely an honor having you on.
Okay, same here.
All right. Charles Wilson, Dawes and Divas. All right. That's it for tonight's show. I want to thank all my guests. I want to thank all the callers. But most of all, I want to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. Don't forget GQ Palace Radio. We got a new episode starting Monday. from 8 to 9 up in Unsigned Artist Radio. But we'll be playing nothing but unsigned artists. You can call in and give your feedback. You can let us know, you know, whether to pump it or dump it, whether it should be played or not. And that's going to be starting July 22nd from 8 to 9. But coming this Sunday, we have Spiritual Sunday from 7 to 9 with Lavina Polite, opening in prayer, Minister Arthur Weathersby, closing in prayer, Minister Cheryl Miller. After Lavina Polite, Spiritual Sunday, 7 to 9, we got Crossroad Temple with Faith Walker interviewing nothing but gospel artists, gospel hip-hop artists, regular gospel artists, all gospel from 9 to 10 and playing their music as well. On Tuesdays, we have GPS, GQ Palace Sports with the mayor from 8 to 10, bringing you the bigger picture, how he say he doing it, hard body karate. So make sure you tune in on Tuesdays with the mayor. On Wednesdays from 7 to 9, we have the Diva Squad in the building, Rachel, T, and Angie, bringing you their grown and sexy topics and playing the hottest old and new slow jams and R&B. After the Diva Squad Love Fantasy, 7 to 9 on Wednesdays, right after them, Fallout Comedy with comedian Rakim Chick Singleton, bringing you the funniest, hilarious jokes live on the air. Thursday, we have Reality and Relationship with KL and Tiffany Belvin, talking to you about relationships. Feel free to call in as well and give your and let, know, let them know what's going on with you in the relationships, and they give you that truth to the matter feedback and let you know what's going on in the world of the news today. That's from 8 to 10 with KL and Tiffany Belvin. Then on Friday, you're right back here on Love and Entertainment with Rich Money. Now, don't forget, it's going down tonight, 2116 Adam Clayton Power Boulevard. You have my man, Kenneth Whitmore. His birthday, all right affair, is going to be ridiculous. July 13th, we have Swagger at the Tavern doing his thing. July 13th. Also, shout out to my sister and my brother-in-law. Their baby shower is going on that day also. And we're going to be doing it big at 161st in Cortland. Then, July 14th is that big event, GQ Palace Nonstop Media. Coco Chanel going to be in the building. Latoya Times from Video City, Hot 97, Super Lover C, Rough Riders, Showcase. Winner wins $1,000 in cash, trophies, studio time at Rough Riders. Put on the air on GQ Palace, GQ Palace Magazine and Kix Magazine and other radio stations. So make sure you go out for that. We're doing it big this year. We're taking it to a whole nother level. So once again, I want to wish y'all all a safe and blessed weekend. Don't forget to check out Charles Wilson's singles. They on fire. And we're going to be rotating them on Wednesdays, Thursdays, Mondays, because he's doing it big. And also, don't forget about Al King, his book, Let It Be Known. Check that book out because he's talking some realistic stuff. And make sure you get it. Once again, I'm your host, Rich Money. This is Love and Entertainment. You was tuned in to GQ Palace Radio. Hope to see y'all next week. It's butter, baby.
War Steel Records.
Happy anniversary to my wife. Love you, Lavina. Later.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
Walk from reloaded, sensitive to the palace. Better check your matters for fine divine savage. Not average, Dunny, I'm Rich Money. A king among men from sin if you're ugly. Hug me, polite, Levine, I spit wine. And turning back the water, your order, order mine. Reality, relationship, you better get a grip. KL and Tiffany, the magnificent. God omnipotent, Sunday spiritual. I'm so polite when I enter if you're miserable. So visual, the mayor, the player. I put the rose from my garden to my heat there. New York Nixon, my queen is a fixin'. 1257, nap, you're glistening. Love like loyal, my point is pure oil. My phone keeps ringing from dude's house, spoiled.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough is the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough is the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue.
Love, entertainment, I name it and I claim it. Bring the duck on that Turner style, untainted. I'm a messenger of light, I'm sitting to the night. My poetry is pain, every Ben Ross right. Stepping to Dallas, I educate Alice. Old school to new school, playing pure ballad. Divinely inspired, birth to approve. This is the Diva Squad on the move. Rachel and DC, gotta take it easy. Start to feel good, real good when you need me. Rich money, I rise, survive all your lives. Most high too good, so I keep staying high. Why parable, GQ, not comparable. Out of line, disconnect, won't even air the fool. Street apostle, far from a fossil. Make a major move, GQ, with colossal.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough is the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough is the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough is the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough is the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue.